Welcome to Doom's Play, the No Direction Pathfinder 2nd Edition Playtest Actual Play Podcast. Today we'll be playing Doomsday Dawn Part 1, The Lost Star. I'm your host and Game Master, Ryan Costello. Before we introduce our players, I'd like to thank Paizo for providing us with the materials to make this possible, and our patrons at patreon.com/nodirection. We're going to go through the ABCs of who our players are and who their characters are, starting with Param.
Hey, this is Param. You know me from most of the shows on this network, so I won't go too much into that. Also, I will be playing Riordan today, an inexperienced, super helpful wannabe scholar prone to accidental explosions.
But what about your ABCs? What's your ancestry?
Okay, my ancestry is human. My background is Assyrian, scholar adept. The Assyrian one, I forget the exact name of it. And my class is wizard.
Let me find what the Assyrian one is, because we are taking the specific backgrounds from the book. It is budding Assyrianologist. Alex, tell us about yourself and your character.
I'm Alexander Gunas, the Everyman Gamer. You might know me from the Guidance blog and the No Direction Beyond podcast, where I am a host. I also have Everyman Gaming LLC under my pocket. My character for this wonderful adventure is Razul Dawnstar. He is a, A ancestry. I'm an elf with the Mindquake Survivor background, and my class is Paladin.
Nice. Of the backgrounds that came in the Doomsday Dawn, that one's probably the most intriguing.
I don't know what a Mindquake is, but I'm excited to find out.
Oh, you will. Maybe not this session, but you will. Andrew, you're next.
I'm Andrew Marlowe from Burst of Insight on the blogs here on No Direction. I will be playing Brayden Forgeborn, a dwarf cleric whose background is family friend.
Ah, yes. You've been friends with the Deverins of Magnemar. That's going to come up very shortly. But first, James, who are you playing?
Well, I'm James. I write the Code Switch blog, and I also co-host on the No Direction Beyond blog, if you've heard us make fun of stuff there, which is awesome. I'm playing Karhig, the half-orc druid, with my Leshy Raven familiar. I'm a half-orc. I am dedicated to preserving the landscape around me, even though I come from Belkson. So my idea of what a good landscape is might be a little different than other people's, but you got to protect all the land you have.
And what's your background?
My background is the esoterist.
The Esoteric Scion?
Yeah, that's it.
Finally, we have Lauren.
Yes, I am Lauren. You may know me from No Direction Adventures, where I play Lily, who has not poisoned anyone, and you cannot prove it. I also write the Dear Dova Queen advice column. Please send me your advice questions. I absolutely love them. It makes my day every time I get a new one in my email. For this game, I'm going to be playing Dizzy the Goblin, who wants to be a knight someday. She grew up in a peaceful little goblin town, surrounded by children books of human knights slaying dragons and rescuing maidens. And that's all she wants to do, is be a knight who slays dragons and rescues maidens. So
she wasn't slain looking at all these books.
Well, Gobhaven's a very nice town. That's where all the nice goblins live. But she knows about the Pathfinder. She knows that they run around and they save people. So surely they must be knights. Therefore, my background is Pathfinder hopeful as I go to meet them and become a knightly goblin.
Excellent. I'm glad you went with Pathfinder hopeful. There is the Goblin Renegade background that is specifically geared for goblins, but it feels a little railroady. So I'm glad that you chose a different direction for your character.
It really didn't feel like this character.
You all find yourselves in Magnemar, a city that you have all spent a considerable amount of time in, if not your entire lives, when you are contacted by Kaleri Deverin, a friend of Brayden, and someone that you are all familiar with. She's an aristocrat, and she lets you know that she went to her storage looking for a family heirloom, the Star of Desna. Instead, she found an overturned room and a whimpering goblin.
Where is her storeroom?
Her storeroom is it's on her property.
Can we speak to this whimpering goblin?
Absolutely you can.
We should do that.
She is, she's small, she's crying, but she does seem to let her guard down as soon as she sees another goblin.
Okay, I'd like to approach the young goblin and be like, ho there, small gob, what's your name?
I am Talga. I will give you this if you get me out of it. She just picks up a pile of broken garbage that's at her feet.
Oh, this is very nice. You have many nice treasures, Talga. What are you doing here?
I am getting stuff.
What stuff are you getting?
Whatever the stuff I could find. It is for Dracus.
Dracus? Who's Dracus?
Dracus is a vampire.
Oh, that's bad. No, can we leave? I don't want to deal with Dracus.
Wait, little one. No true knight can say no to the call of adventure when an evil undead is there. My patron Sarenrae teaches that we must smite all of the wicked undead monstrosities such as this vampire.
Oh, oh good!
Goblin, tell me where this vampire is so that I might put it back in its grave or coffin.
Dracus is at the Ashen Ossuary.
Excellent, for when he is done, he will be ash.
Hey, nope. What is the Ashen Ossuary, by the way?
Ashen Ossuary? Telga knows all about that. She and a few others snuck around the Ashen Ossuary when the Mudchewers, her clan, first claimed the dungeon as their home. And the goblins can provide... Oh, she can provide a rough sketch of how to get there and a rough sketch of the complex. So if you're interested, you can wait a few minutes and she will draw out the entire map and I can actually reveal everything on the map for you. Turning off the Hog of War that Vanessa from the network was kind enough to make for us. Well, okay, she made it for her own game, but she's letting us use it.
Thank you, Vanessa.
Give me a moment. I'm having trouble with my reveal areas button.
It's because I was holding the map upside down.
For those of you listening at home, we are playing tonight's game on Roll20, who is not sponsoring this particular podcast, but do sponsor others on the network.
I see what I was doing wrong. I was starting off the map, just assuming I could click everything, but no, I had to pick a corner on the map.
Okay, we also all see all the monsters by accident.
All right, close your eyes.
No!
Pretend you didn't see the monsters and just memorize more or less the squares that you've seen.
What monsters?
Exactly. This is going to be so easy, guys. There's no monsters in this dungeon.
Wonderful.
We were told there was a vampire, but that's a singular. So
yeah, exactly. There's no monsters.
Look, in this mission, we're just playtesting the social parts of the game.
Razul is very interested to see whether or not this goblin bursts into fire for like writing things down for us in the form of this map, or can goblins write
drawing?
Maps?
It's words that will steal thoughts from your mind.
Oh,
okay. Drawings are okay.
Mm-hmm. That's okay. How I read picture books. You only look at the pictures of the knights. Mm-hmm. Come on, human. You should know those.
I'm not a human.
You are all non-greens. You are all humans. Come on.
That is literally not true. My race is older and prouder than theirs.
I wasn't born yesterday. I know things.
Talga says, the other goblins, they took the stuff. They took it back to Dracus.
Are you really sure that Dracus is a vampire?
Where do we find Dracus? Oh.
At the Ashen Ossuary.
Oh, Ashen Ossuary. I've never heard of that before, ever.
She shows you the map she just drew for you.
No, I've never seen this before. Never.
Are you really sure that it is a vampire and not just a really moody person?
He says he's a hobgoblin, but he drinks blood.
That's good enough for me. Let's smite him.
Interesting. I've never met a hobgoblin vampire before. Or a hobgoblin before, for that matter.
Listen. There's a very easy test that we paladins do in order to determine whether things are undead. I invoke the light of my goddess. Mm-hmm. I apply it very directly to his flesh. If it burns and reduces him to ash, then we know that he is undead. And if it doesn't burn him and reduce him to ash, then we understand that he's not undead. And therefore, we judge him on his merits rather than the fact that he's been animated by horrible energies from beyond this plane.
And
fair.
Small gob, can you make it back home?
Can I?
Are you going to stay out of trouble?
Yes.
She says she'll stay out of trouble. I say we let her go.
We could put her on her leash and have you carry her back. It'll be a goblin train. Goblin and goblin pulling each other along. It sounds amusing.
I could use a new friend. Someone watch Oinker Boinker for me.
Karhig, could this creature be your newest familiar?
No, it's too smart and mischievous.
I'm pretty sure this is the only time in its lifetime anything will have called it too smart. You are a kind soul, Karhig.
I mean, it's smarter than a bear. What can I tell you?
I am.
I would like to put this hypothesis to a test.
We can do it on the way to the vampire's lair.
Indeed. If there's a vampire, we shouldn't delay.
Yeah, if we're near the town, we can just drop off the little goblin with the guard and just be on our way.
Excellent.
What time of day is it, by the way?
What time of day do you want it to be?
Not night.
Early
Not night.
Morning. That one. Early morning. Absolutely.
Sure, let's say it's early morning. No problem.
You gotta wake up. You have to meditate. You have to do that really early.
This is true. In order to gain powers from Serenre, you must be up and meditating with the rising of the sun.
Nobody bother me until my fourth wineskin of tea, or else I'll be very grumpy.
Clary Devrin has been listening in on your conversation, by the way, and she does say, if he has the Star of Desna, which she describes it, but you know Desna, you know what a star looks like, it's pretty self-explanatory. Please, can you find it and bring it back to me? It is a family heirloom, and it is very important to me. I want to bring it to the Swallowtail Festival, which will be starting in a week.
Oh, that sounds lovely. I love festivals.
And I'm sure nothing bad will happen at that.
Is the Star of Desna like a piece of jewelry, or is it an ornate weapon? What exactly is its purpose?
I'm going to say it's a necklace. Let me see if I can just confirm that really quickly. Let's say it's a necklace until I have reason to believe otherwise.
Is it a five-pointed star with a butterfly in the middle?
That certainly sounds right.
Excellent.
Now, what on earth would a hobgoblin vampire want with a really pretty necklace?
Well, from what Tolga was telling you, it may be a coincidence. The Mud Chewer tribe may have just been sent in to get whatever, because she didn't seem to have a specific plan. There may be a specific reason for them to take this specific artifact. Not artifact, but, you know.
Then we must hurry, for there is some unholy shenanigans afoot.
You follow the map that you were given by Tolga, which unfortunately leads you through the Magnemar sewers. But, actually, Dizzy, I was about to tell you that you've heard much about the Magnemar sewers as a Pathfinder hopeful, because they seem to spend a lot of time in there.
Yes. I'm not supposed to, but I think it smells good down there.
You are easily able to navigate the sewers and find your way to the entrance of the ossuary.
Excellent.
So what does the
You also can note like? An exit from the sewers nearby that if you do need to get back to the surface, you believe you can get there without any issue.
Good. Okay, we do. We note it.
Our courageous withdrawal is in that direction.
Yeah, an ossuary is a place with bones, so why are there bones in a sewer? And so many of them.
That is an excellent question.
The reason that Magnemar is built upon lots of ancient ruins is the reason my character would have been anywhere interested in coming here to study such crazy contraptions, most notably the giant bridge that no one really knows why it's here. Also, don't go into it. They say you'll get your face eaten off.
Oh, the human too wordy. Can we go?
Patience. Patience is a virtue. We must not be too hasty. After all, the sun rises and sets once every single day. There's no reason to force us.
That is a good point. There is no natural light coming in through the sewer. There is also no artificial light in this section of the sewer. So how are you able to see?
Who is going to be up front?
I'll be up front.
I shall be up front as well.
Okay. Dizzy, do you have a helmet I could borrow for a moment?
Oh, I have helmet, but I need back. It protect my pretty face.
I'm going to make it glow.
Be a shining knight.
Indeed.
It will be.
Okay, so I'm going to take the helmet and set it on the ground because in PF2 it has to be an unattended object to cast light on it. And then I cast light on it and it will last all day. A nice glowing goblin helmet.
That's
I give it back.
Pretty.
It's a good time to point out that right now we are in a mode called, not encounter mode, what is it?
Exploration.
Thank you. We are in exploration mode. It is slightly mechanical, but it's a little broader than most of the modes. It's definitely not as mechanical as an encounter. So now's a good time to establish things like the marching order, as well as how you are approaching the entrance to the sewer. So let's go in that order that we established earlier. Param, what is your approach right now?
I am definitely searching around me as I'm moving through, and I do not want to be up front.
All right, so any initiative you roll will be with perception, unless you're going to argue something otherwise. You don't want to be up front, so I will move you in my own notes over here. Who does want to be in front?
I want to be in front.
All right, yeah. So Alex, how are you approaching?
I have my sword and shield drawn, and I'm using the defending tactic.
All right, so what will you be rolling for initiative?
I'm looking for vampires. Can I roll religion to identify vampires?
If there is a vampire in the room, I will let you roll religion. Otherwise, you are looking for them, so it'll be perception by default.
That's fair.
All right. So Alex is first in line. Who believes they should be second?
Oh, I am more first. I'm firster.
Alex, are you going to let Dizzy in front of you?
If the squire wishes to die a timely death, then I shall have no choice but to allow it and potentially stitch her body back together.
All right. So, Lauren, Dizzy officially has point. How are you approaching?
Oh, I'm not actually paying attention. I'm just wandering. So.
All right. I'll figure something out for you then. So then we've got Dizzy, Razul. Who believes they should be third?
I'll go ahead and be third.
All right, so Brayden is third. And how are you approaching danger?
I am keeping an eye out because there's no way I'm stealthing this.
No problem. So that is perception. James, how is Karhig approaching?
Karhig's looking for the tracks of this warband that probably went through. If the map is following their path, to go back to where their leader is, you'd probably look for tracks.
All right, so that's... I got to brush up on what the survival skill is now. Oh, there is still a survival. So survival for initiative.
Fourth in line sounds good. I just want to protect our amazing wizard that has so many knowledge of bridges that were never completed.
Which also, one more thing I should bring up, since we as players are knowledgeable about the history of Galarian, is that part one of Doomsday Dawn takes place in the year 4707, so 11 years prior to Galarian's present.
That seems like a very specific date.
Indeed, it is just before the events of Pathfinder Adventure Path number 1, Burnt Offerings.
Huh.
Interesting.
Yeah, who knows if that will play into things. So there is no door or anything that officially indicates the end of the sewers and the entrance to the ossuary. If you want, you can just walk into the first room in the order that we just established.
Oh, if we're walking into rooms, and I'll also do the defending one if we're going into rooms.
Okay. So then if you look at the map, I will be pinging it shortly.
I only see one room. Yay!
That's the only room you should be seeing. You see that square I'm indicating? That is as far into the room as you can place your figure. Dizzy, you're the first one.
James, you brought a posse.
I think we found out that one of the posse members might not be here until second level.
No.
I have a bear that's still percolating, growing.
It hasn't been born yet.
Yeah, my future mount is just a piglish on a leash behind me. Just a little piglet.
So what's this thing at the top? I see init, melee, ranged, S4, S-ref.
Oh.
This is
what is that?
Those are my macros. Oh. I'm surprised you can see them.
Wonderful.
We'll just pretend like we don't. How about that?
Sounds good to me.
Roll 20.
Well, it's not like it's anything specific. Something may roll initiative, a melee attack, a ranged attack, or a save. The damp sewer passages have led to a slimy cistern that stinks of decay. On the northern edge of this circular chamber lies a pile of burnt bones in front of a scorched tunnel.
Let's investigate the bones.
Scorch marks, the telltale sign of vampires.
I think it comes as no surprise that it's about time to roll for initiative.
What?
Something is among those scorched bones.
Uh-oh.
Wait, what?
Bum, bum, bum.
Rolling initiative!
All right, I'm going to use perception.
You may.
Am I using perception or religion?
You are using perception in this case.
All right, I rolled an 18 on my die, and I have a +1 modifier, so that is a 19. That is surprisingly good for my absent-minded paladin.
Wow. My creature got a 16, so I'll be going pretty soon.
Mm-hmm. I do not see the turn people in the turn order.
Yep, trying to get that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I rolled a 19 on the die, plus 2 perception bonus, so 21.
Oh, you're kidding me. No, we're going to start this with a natural 1.
Oh, wonderful. Everything is going great.
Just get it out of the way, you know? That's all.
He's the slowest.
For those of you that are watching us live, we're actually using physical dice and paper character sheets and or digital character sheets that aren't in Roll20 for today's play. We haven't actually ported. Only Ryan has all the cool software tricks supporting him.
Yep. We are using paper, like old school gamers. Yep. Somebody asked in chat if like they could see our character sheets. Like,
There they are.
Look, they're right here.
Actually, I can export mine as a PDF because I'm using Hero Lab Online to make my character and run it. And I can share that after the podcast up on our Facebook page.
Same. I have one, too, that I can share.
Yep.
Wonderful. Everybody else, just take a picture with your cell phone and we'll share them all.
Param, Riordan has initiative. Oh, sorry. James, you have a 23. You're not in the initiative tracker yet. Sorry. Mm-hmm. At turn.
Mm-hmm. This is the first time for this one, so there's going to be a little bit of clunkiness as we fill around and get used to the new setup.
This is also my first time GMing on Roll20. It's going fairly smoothly, but not without its hiccups. All right, so James.
Yeah, that's right. I'm just going to delay. I mean, I don't see anything in the perimeter there, so I'll just delay for now.
And what about your bird's initiative?
That stays with me.
Riordan, it is now officially your turn. Oh, I haven't described what you see. Slimy pile of ooze is mucking about the bones that you saw earlier.
Ooh.
I know.
No, not good, not good. I think slimy pile of ooze needs to be zapped with a ray of frost.
A ray of frost, you say? How does Ray of Frost work in 2nd edition?
Ray of Frost is a touch attack, which I have a plus 5 bonus to that roll. And if I manage to hit it, it's 2 actions to cast, like most spells, a somatic and a verbal. And I rolled a nat 20, so that is an auto crit. And so it normally does a d8 damage, so if this thing takes any cold damage at all, I don't even know that it's a thing, it might just be yuck. But then it should take 2d8 cold damage. So if it does take cold damage...
Well, wait, hold on, Param. It's an ooze. It might be immune to crits.
I was getting to that. Oh, so yeah. Param, it is susceptible to cold, but it is not critical. It is not able to be critically hit.
Okay, so because it is immune to crits, it only takes 7 points of cold damage.
7 points of cold damage, you say?
I mean, it's a good opener.
That's painful for a zero-level spell.
I can do this all day.
All right. Next up, Razul.
Where is the ooze on the map? I don't see it.
Ah, okay. So you don't see it?
No.
So how were you able to see other monsters?
I can't see other monsters.
I think only 2 batches of the monsters were accidentally shown.
Ah, there we go.
Oh.
Now on the
top. There it is.
I am going to stride 2 squares forward towards the monster, and I'm going to howdle loaf my scimitar, blessed by Serenray as it is, and I'm going to attempt to use an action to hit it. Are you cool with that, Ryan?
I'm cool with everything you just said. Sweet. That's 2 or 3 actions.
So it's it's 1 action to get there, because I moved. I have even though I'm wearing armor, I actually have a 30-foot movement speed, because I'm an elf and have the nimble feet. So... Okay. I'm going to move 2 squares there. That's 10 feet. I'm going to spend 1 action to attack him, and then I'm probably going to spend my 2nd action to attack him again.
All right.
So my first action... Oh, I rolled a nat 1.
Oops.
Doing great. I go to try to smite the vampire, and it turns out it's not a vampire, everybody. My 2nd roll is going to be... So it would normally be a 16, but it's a minus 5 because it's my 2nd attack, so I rolled an 11.
Now, hold on.
Yeah.
You rolled a natural 1,
uh-oh,
which means we have to look at a fumble.
Oh, no.
A fumble.
If an action or activity does not specify a critical failure effect, then the effect for a critical failure is the same as that of a regular failure.
Okay.
So no negative consequences other than missing.
I like that. That's good. Let's not do that again. So my 2nd attack would have been an 11 to hit him.
11 hits.
Okay.
Just like in 1st edition, oozes are large, with broad sides, easy to smack around. They don't have any kind of armor or dexterity.
Azul wants to look really cool in front of the goblin because I am an actual knight, unlike this goblin. And I rolled a 6 on my damage die, and I have a strength of 16, so that's plus 3. I do 9 damage.
9 damage, that's impressive.
Mm-hmm. Take that. Be ripped apart by the fires of Saren, of the Dawnflower. There we go.
Well, it has been ripped apart by the fires of the Dawnflower, but not to pieces, and so it is the ooze's time to retaliate. Okay. It unleashes a wave of slime and filth, hitting all creatures within a 20-foot aura.
Oh. Okay.
Well.
Oh, this is a gushy boy.
Gushy boy.
All right, so looking at the 20... Is this... Yep. That hits just about everybody. So everyone within that aura, so that is everyone except for, lucky for you, Param.
Me and the bird, we're cool.
Make a DC 15 reflex save.
All right.
You're a very nice GM, saying the DC of the saves out loud.
Oh, you know what? That's just what happens when I'm reading from the book.
Oh,
it's efficient, though.
I rolled a 12, and I am the dodgiest paladin ever. I have a plus 3, so I have a 15. Okay.
15? All right.
I roll a modified 15.
Modified 15 is fine.
Yeah.
Dizzy?
I am very dodgy, but I was trying to figure out what that weird eared human was saying, so I failed.
All right. Brayden?
Natural 15 with a 1, so it's a 16.
And Kerrig.
I ended up with a natural 20, so hopefully that protects me from any slime penetration.
All right, so everyone that made the save is fine, which leaves just... Dizzy, were you the only one that failed?
I'm the only one.
All right. You want the bad news or the really bad news?
Oh, give me the really bad news. The
really bad news is that you are hampered.
Okay.
By 10 feet. I'll allow you to look up hampered... later, but it, you know what? No, your speed is reduced by 10 feet.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Can't reduce your speed below 5 feet.
It is now 5 feet.
All right. Jeez, really?
Yeah. That's all I needed anyway, though. I was only going 5 feet anyway.
All right, so that was the really bad news. The only so-so bad news is that you just took 4 points of acid damage.
Okay. I like that less.
Mm-hmm.
And let's see, that's...
I believe I get a riposte now, though.
A riposte against a spew of slime?
Oh, no. I thought it was my turn. I forgot he still has other things he can do.
He does. He's going to whip a pseudopod at our friend the paladin.
Bring it on.
He Saren is bringing it on.
Saren Ray's might will protect me.
You will need, it?
Yes, you need a 17 to hit me right now.
I rolled an 18.
No!
Oh!
Saren Ray's might...
So, do you want the bad news or the really bad news?
Give me both at the same time, GM.
All right, so first you're taking 7 points of physical damage.
Okay.
And then 4 points of acid damage.
Okay.
I rolled maximum damage on every damage roll I've rolled so far.
Bad. Life is bad. Bad dice.
Life is bad, comrades. Life is bad.
Let's see. I still have a single action left. There's no point in moving. I guess I'll just slap you with another pseudopod.
Bring it.
So this one is going to be at minus 5 from what his last bonus was because of it's a second attack this turn.
Mm-hmm.
So I rolled a 20, modified.
So
this oozes dynamite.
Well, that hits me.
It hits you for...
I think I'm going down, friends.
6 physical damage.
Okay.
And 2 acid damage.
I have 1 hit point.
Oh my goodness.
I am still up. Saren's grace protects me from the deaths of Pharasma's door.
Really? It seems like Saren might have been snoozing in the protecting you department.
It's because you're being pretentious.
Do you have to be outside in Saren Ray's light for any of this to work?
No. Her light burns like a fire in my heart.
Well, let's see if Dizzy can save your butt.
Yep. All right, I'm going to use my first action for a step because I'm only going 5 feet anyway. It's basically the equivalent of the 5-foot step. And then my halberd has reach, so from this position, I'm going to use 2 actions to deliver a power attack.
Ooh.
What that's going to do is it's going to double the dice for my weapon, but it's not going to double the strength. All right, so I rolled a natural one, so I don't think I hit.
Critical fumble, but unless your weapon has some crazy modifier for what happens when you fumble, you should be okay.
Okay.
Leaves you with one action. What would you like to do?
No, power attack is two actions for me, so I'm done.
Brayden.
All right. So Brayden will step forward. One step to kind of keep up with Dizzy there, so he's staying right behind the goblin. And I will take two actions to do a ranged heal for our paladin.
Ooh.
Does anybody know off the top of their head, do I have to make a hit roll for that?
No, not
it is I friendly. Don't believe you do.
No?
Chat is starting to get worried for you all.
Yeah.
I think really there's just one person chat should be worried about right now.
Yes, the ooze.
Sure.
Well, we might be demoing how fast we can roll a new character.
Oh.
That's not so great. So, you're going to heal 6.
I will take it regardless. That's still very... Oh, no, that's on the goblin, right? Because you're
that's
back
on
there.
You.
Wait, you could heal me from that far away?
Yes, within 30 feet. I took two actions to do that.
Oh.
That's how heal works now. It's great.
Is that the 3-action version? Because the 2-action version says it has to target undead.
You channel positive energy to heal the living or damage the undead. You restore hit points equal to 1d8 plus your spellcasting ability modifier to a living, willing living creature or deal that amount of damage to an undead target. The number of actions you spend when casting this spell determines its targets, range, and area, or other parameters. I use the 2-action, so that is this spell has a range of 30 feet and doesn't require a touch attack when targeting an undead creature.
Yeah, so it says that all that applies when targeting an undead creature, and I'm not undead. So
the last thing applies to undead.
Right, it means that it still gets its save like it normally would, but I can target you, too.
Mm-hmm.
It's just saying that you don't automatically hit the undead. You still have to make the touch.
I will qualify that Jason Bowman let me do this on stage, so I'm going to assume that's official.
Okay. I will take those 7 points of healing then.
Yeah, you need them.
I really need them. I'm not going to argue against my own salvation.
And Carhig, it is still the first round, and you haven't done anything. What would you like to do?
He's only 6. Whoops.
That's all right. So with my turn there, I want to use a spell. I believe it will take all of my actions. I'm going to spend all 3 of my actions to summon Nature's Ally.
What do you got?
A pony, and I want to summon it next to it.
Is it a little pony?
Yeah, I mean, it's a 0-hit-die pony.
Is it your little pony?
No, it's all of our little pony. It's a group pony. And I'm going to have it hoof the ooze. Or I would like to have it hoof the ooze.
All right.
I'm just rereading the spell because I think I do need to direct it. So I believe I can make it fight next turn.
Okay. So whereabouts do you want it?
Just right next to it as prime inconvenience to get in front of anybody's party. So like the space with the water directly northwest of our goblin there.
All right, so now it is officially flanked. Whether it can be flanked or not, only I know.
Mm-hmm.
That was all 3 of your actions, right, James?
Yep, that's it.
All right, Riordan.
All right, so I wish to shuffle up and around this corner with my first action.
All right, so to stepping get a nice... through the acid it just spewed onto the floor and your allies.
Right, right. Does it make my boots smear? Or do I have scuffs? Is this a problem?
It scuffs them. Otherwise, I'm just, you know, painting a picture.
Okay, you had me worried. All right. And then I'm going to hit it with another Ray of Frost. That time, I rolled a 7-touch attack.
All right, let me just clear something up. You are now shooting into melee, at least according to first edition rules. How does that affect second edition?
It does not exist anymore.
All right. Mm-hmm. Congratulations. 7 hits.
What? Okay.
I know.
I'll take it.
Ooze.
6 points of damage.
Ooh.
You are killer with that Ray of Frost. Mm-hmm. That was your all 3 area actions, so mm-hmm. we can move on to Razul.
I got hit pretty hard this time, so in addition to relying on Siren Ray's Grace, I'm going to rely on my shield. I'm going to spend an action to raise it, and I'm going to take two swings at the ooze again. Sadly, I don't have the feat that lets me do Lay on Hands without provoking, so that's really not an option right now. My first roll to hit is, I rolled a 4 on the die and get plus 4, so that's an 8.
Hits.
All right. That's going to be 5 points of damage. I roll a 2 and add plus 3. And I'm going to take a minus 5 to make a second attack. Are you cool with that, Ryan?
I am very cool with that.
All right. I rolled a 7, plus 4 is 11, minus 5 would be 6.
Hits.
Yeah! Go ooze armor class. That's another 5 points of damage.
It is still, I don't want to say standing, but I guess quivering in an upright position.
Okay. I think in ooze, harumphs. It's still harumphing around.
It is harumphing like it's never harumphed before. It is going to split its focus. The first attack will be on this pesky paladin.
Okay. My armor class is now a 19 because my heavy steel shield is raised.
So that's a 4. I forgot to add the modifier, but even with the modifier, it's not going to beat your 17. Or sorry, your, what did you say your AC was now?
It's now a 19. I have a heavy steel shield, and I raised it last turn, so now it's 17 plus 2 for a 19.
All right, well, it's going to try and attack you again.
Ah, you jerk. Ha-ha! Saren Ray's Light prevails.
Well done. So with his modified total for his second attack, this is only being a plus 2. He gets an 18. If it wasn't for your shield, then you would not have hit. I'm getting poked by a Scarlet. Hello, Scarlet.
Aww. Hobbit invasion.
All right.
Who's talking to you?
Who's not talking to me right now, Scarl? Here we go. We got James, Lauren, Alex, Param, and Andrew. They're trying to fight this ooze, but the ooze is attacking their pony right now.
Why?
That's a good question.
Wait, is the ooze attacking the pony?
At home?
The ooze is attacking the pony with the last attack.
Oh, retributive strike!
Wow, alright.
This pony will not fall. I get to make another attack on it, and I take a minus 2 penalty. If I hit, then I think it's hindered 1. I'll look that up if I hit. Oh gosh, I rolled a 19, so that would be 23 minus 2 is 21 to hit it.
That is plenty to hit a flanked ooze.
I rolled 6 points of damage, 3 plus 3.
What are you doing?
Scarlet. Sorry, what was your total there, Alex?
6 points of damage, and it is enfeebled 3 for the rest of its turn.
There is no rest of its turn. This ooze is done.
For a pony!
Hello?
Hello, Scarlet!
All right, Scarlet, you gotta go. You going to bed?
Good night, Scarlet.
Say good night.
Good night.
All right, good night, Scarlet.
You're all tied up in my wires.
Yeah, there's no way of editing around that cameo. All right, so you've beaten down this ooze. It just kind of dissipates under a pile of bones, which Dizzy can tell you this is probably just a garbage heap, and the goblins have been using this ooze to chew the meat off the bones so that the whole tunnel doesn't rot.
It's very efficient.
That is extremely efficient.
But how do you keep the ooze from eating the occasional goblin?
It's very slow.
Oh, if it was so slow, then why were you having such a hard time, Paladin?
Oh, I didn't say anything about being slow. That was the goblin. That ooze was a mighty foe, worth my time.
I mean, how hurt are you, by the way?
That is an excellent question. I am down a grand total of 10 hit points. I have 7 out of 17.
If we spend 10 minutes, I can create a nutritious blueberry for you that will restore some of those hit points.
I feel like we have it, right?
Yeah, I mean, what else could be coming through this tunnel?
Everything. Do we have 10 minutes? What do you think? I could just lay on hands myself and hope I get lucky.
Do you guys want to make a perception check to see if anyone is coming or if anyone's around the corner?
Sure.
Yeah, I would like to do that.
I got an 18 on my check, 17 plus 1.
I got a 22.
That is definitely enough to hear the echoes of bickering goblins in the distance.
Ah, We do not have time for such pleasantries. Saren, raise light! Heal me! I'm going to lay on hands.
Why is he yelling? There's goblins around that corner.
Yeah, you can definitely hear the goblin saying, like, did he say Saren Ray? Is that the good one or the bad one?
I rolled a 3 for a total of 6. That's going to bring me to 13 out of 17.
I want to try to hide in the corner next to the pony.
Wait, nope, that's 5.
I want to not hide. I want to be like 12. The first one they see.
How long is that pony lasting, James?
That pony is around for about one more round. Or I think it's a minute per level. Or I had it up there, and it up to 1 minute. I would say it's probably gone now. Mm. Concentration or up to 1 minute. So I concentrate on it. Okay. Mm. I'll still concentrate. There's still a pony.
You haven't had a turn since it showed up, so you can easily be concentrating on this.
I really like this pony. This is a good pony.
All right. You are technically in exploration mode now. Do you want to keep the same marching order that you established earlier?
I think so.
Mm-hmm. And how are you going to approach the squabbling goblins you know are around the corner?
I feel like we could try talking to them, you know?
Mm-hmm. I wish to be very sneaky. Okay.
If you wish to talk to them, you will have to take point, for I do not speak the language of goblin.
I am going to take point. I am the frontest fighter here.
I mean, it's true. You are the fighterest fighter here.
Mm-hmm. All right, so I'm going to go start moving my character forward, if that's all right?
That is okay.
All right. Tell me when to stop.
Sure. So you do have that map of the area, so you do know more or less what's around the corner, which is a winding passageway coming off a room.
Okay, and... so I'll just step into the room then.
Okay. Anyone that is approaching stealthily, let me know.
I am approaching stealthily.
I will attempt to approach stealthily, but it's not going to happen.
Seeing as I'm over a century old, I know what the word stealthily means, but I choose to ignore its definition.
I am over 7. I have heard that word before.
I have a 0 on my stealth check.
That's better than my -2. I'm concentrating on a pony.
If I'm supposed to...
I have no time for stealth.
I rolled a 17 for stealth.
He's trying to decide what its cutie mark should be.
No.
We'll save the stealth rolls for after we establish what Dizzy is doing. She is ahead of the group, and I believe she wanted to attempt a diplomatic approach.
I do. I am not going to make a stealth check. I'm just going to walk up to these small greens and talk to them.
All right, so the walls of this long chamber are scorched dark. The thick layer of soot crusting to the ceiling above attests to the tremendous fire that must have raged through this room in the past. Burial niches in the walls and the rows of central pillars contain only fragments of burnt wood and charred bone. There are these 4 goblins. They look like warriors, or at least war-capable, folks. And they are squabbling right now. They are all looking in your direction, though. So when you peek around the corner, they get quiet.
I want to call out to them. Hey there.
Hey.
Is you the boys that's up to no good? And I'll talk to them in Goblin.
Some no good, yeah.
Why you be no good? We're trying to make good with the human. Did you take the Desna Star?
They start looking through a pile of garbage that's in front of them that you now realize is kind of being built into something.
Oh. Ooh, I'm fascinated. I'm going to come up a lot faster now, just curious and wide-eyed. Ooh, what you boys building?
Oh, come see.
I do come see.
All right, roll for initiative.
All right.
Oh.
I know. What? If you can't trust a goblin.
But our goblin seems so trustworthy.
Yeah,
yours is fine.
Well, it appears that we have the last round, but reversed between me and Lauren. We're going to try to get to save you there, green one, but if you die, what do we do with your remains?
You're too far away, I can't hear you.
That's fair. That's all right, I have stabilized.
All right, so I've got my initiative in the tracker. I'm sitting on a 13.
Yeah, some of my goblins are kind of quick.
That's unfortunate.
Everyone else roll for initiative. Announce it just to give people some idea of who's going when, and then add it to the tracker when you can.
Okay. I have an 8.
You're not the only one, so remember to put your initiative modifier as a point.
And this is based on stealth, right? So.
Yeah, you were all being stealthy, so or most of you being stealthy, I believe. James, you said you were not.
No, I was tending to this pony.
All right, so you can roll perception, everyone else roll stealth.
So unless I use perception too?
No, you can roll diplomacy.
Oh, I'd rather use... All right. I rolled better, though, so let me make it now something different.
I rolled a 16 for my stealth check for initiative.
All right.
Well...
Herrick, you have initiative, so... You're able to follow the conversation even though it's in Goblin, because it's just kind of like
That's actually exactly what
you clearly hear, like metal being drawn from sheets.
Oh, sorry,
You don't have the initiative.
No,
the Goblin Warrior gets to go first.
Yep.
So on top of everything I just described, you also hear possibly a gurgling sound of a friend being stabbed.
Let's find out.
All right, so let me just... Oh, okay, so this one has to step forward, so he can only attack you with 2 actions.
Oh, man.
Oh, glory.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. He's got a dog slicer. Ooh, it is a backstabber, which means that he's attacking a flat-footed target, which, correct me if I'm wrong, she hasn't gone yet, so she's flat-footed?
Only if he's a rogue. No, but you don't have that now unless you're a rogue.
No kidding. All right, then.
And if they're drawing their weapons, those are interact actions, and I will take an attack of opportunity because I'm a fighter and I can do that.
All right. They will draw their weapons as the first action on their turn. So this one draws, then steps,
okay,
and then attacks a single time. Thank you for keeping me honest. Mm-hmm. Which means here's his attack. Does a 20 hit?
Yes, a 20 will hit.
Oh, no.
I'm sure all of their blades are covered in poop. Enjoy it, Lauren.
Well, they're just kind of covered in nothing, and there's not a whole lot of oomph behind these attacks, but somehow max damage again. 6 damage from
That's
the first dog
now.
Slicer.
That's twice you've max damaged me.
I'm max damaging almost every damage roll I've done. I'm quite proud of myself.
And we are just nothing but ones all day. This is going to be a short broadcast, folks.
Hey. Yep. Playtesting includes playtesting the luck.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Carrig, so now officially you do hear your ally going, "Oh, I've been stabbed!"
Curse your inevitable but sudden betrayal.
5, 10, 15, 20. I'm going to move down to there.
Yep,
I'm going to have my summoned creature, 5, 10, 15, 20, 25. 30. I believe the movement speed of a pony should be infinite, but it's 35. 35.
It should be infinite?
Yeah, it's a pony. They're beasts of burden. But it's going to use both of its actions to 15, 20, 25, 30, 35 to get up closer to our ally there.
Dude, and, I'm sure the goblins love that you sent a horse to go fight them.
Yes. And I'll also get my scimitar out, and that's my turn.
All right, next up. Riordan.
So I want to rush out of this cave as fast as possible. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 to get me here.
Oh. I thought you were just fleeing.
No. There's much unfortunate happening inside, and I want to assist as quickly as possible. Where is the thing that I can use to measure damage? Or not damage, but...
The ruler.
Ruler, where's you at, ruler? Ruler, there you is.
You are 45 feet away from the nearest goblin.
And Ray of Frost is a 60-foot range. But I don't
want
to use
Ray of Frost. Cantrip.
Yeah, I don't want to use Ray of Frost. I want to use... Okay. Well, I am going to use Ray of Frost. I want to use Electric Arc, but that only has a 30-foot range. So I'm going to use Ray of Frost instead.
So just so we're clear, I am the nearest goblin, and we're not targeting me, right? Well,
in the heat of the moment, I just couldn't tell. No, I'm going to try the unfriendly goblin. I'm going to try.
Okay. I believe these black marks indicate the pillars, so consider those blocking.
Right. So from the center of my square to the center of the goblin square, it is going to get screened, so it's going to get a +1 circumstance bonus to its AC. and I rolled a 7 touch. So
I love it. A 7 touch. No, come on. That doesn't touch a goblin.
Nope.
Known for their nimble dodginess.
Mm-mm.
And shifting ways. Shifty ways.
20s, apparently.
And that
that's
my
the actions?
Turn. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Razul.
Is drawing a weapon something you can do if you're trained in that weapon type, or is it always an action?
It is an action. It is an interact action.
Okay. Always. Okay. Got it. All right. Let's see. So I have the greatest movement speed ever, everyone. I have a 35-foot movement speed normally. But with my armor, it's down to 30, so I'm going to move a whole bunch. Let's see. So that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. That's my first move action. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. My second, and I'm gonna draw my my weapon and get ready to attack some goblins from here. I basically shoot out and start going around the side with my great elven reflexes. I can see where the goblin is, and I'm gonna try to head off too many of these guys from swarming our pony and our goblin knight.
All right, and just to clarify, so you were in the other room, you were fighting an ooze, and then you heard goblins in the other room, and you put away your weapon?
I mean, you said that I was doing the hiding in explore mode, and you can't have your weapons out when you're doing hiding.
Okay.
So, yes, apparently.
All right. Sounds good. I mean, I didn't say that, so you did choose to stealth up, right?
I was going to do perception from the back, but you said everyone did stealth, so that's why I'm at a 16. Oh. I would have... So
that was fine. A question mark.
Oh, I didn't. It sounded like a statement. So we're just going to run with it for now.
All right.
Clearly, I put my weapons away because I had to use my hand to heal. Right? For lay on hands?
Mm-hmm. Sure. Dizzy.
So a wise knight once said, "The discretion is the better part of valor." And I will take 3 stride actions away from here. So... With my giant 15-foot movement, I'm going to get 45 feet away.
Really? Because as soon as you turn around, a horse!
I lick my lips a little and keep going. I'll come back to here, because I know this is close to the folks who've been doing Healy stuff.
Mm. Wise strategy, hide behind the squishy.
Hide behind the squishy.
No, it's okay. The pony's got it, everybody.
Oh, boy.
All right, this goblin is going now. Make sure I'm on the right layer. Yeah, I should be able to move him. Oh, that's why. I've got the wrong tool clicked. He's going to move over here, and he's going to attack the pony with the dog slicer.
Oh, that won't work. That's the slicer for dogs.
I know. He goes back to his golf bag of weapons. Puts away the dog slicer, pulls out the horse chopper.
Oh.
No, these are ill-equipped goblins. They only have the dog slicers and short bows. Does a 14 hit?
Oh, yeah, it hits a pony.
Oh.
Well, oh, pony.
It's a pony, not a war horse.
Enjoy 4 points of damage on the pony.
Pony's still up.
Well, then he is going to take another attack.
No.
At a much lower bonus. For 17.
Oh, you're getting better as you go. Practice makes perfect.
3 damage.
Pony's still around. Pony's a tank.
Take that pony.
With 1 hit point.
Another goblin is striding. I should double check what their speed is. I was assuming... Oh, it's 25 feet. So 5, 10, 15, 20, 25. Does the pony get any kind of attack of opportunity for moving through its ranks?
Only fighters.
If they try to climb on it and move it, it gets a gallop action, but I don't think that's what they're doing.
All right. So here is a fun rule. Goblins have a reaction called Goblin Scuttle, or at least these ones do. So because this goblin and I just moved, ended his move next to this goblin, that goblin gets to take a step for free. Well, not for free, but as his reaction. So they're going to just start hopping around and slowly circling this pony. Let's see how this plays out. But first, an attack. 25 to hit the pony.
You are getting Ryan, so good down. At this. Yeah, chill.
Does it hit the pony by more than 10?
Yeah, you're like IKEA to horses here, man. Yeah, it does.
All right, then that means I get to Param, remind me how crits work.
It's just like a normal crit unless it has a special property. So roll the damage dice twice and double your strength bonus. Oh,
it's okay. Mm-hmm. You sure about that? I thought they changed crits.
No, he's right.
If it has, okay. Sometimes weapons will have a rider like deadly or some other effect, and then that happens when crits happen.
All right. Well, nothing like that this time. So take 9 damage, pony.
Oh, that's 8 damage of overkill. Goodbye, majestic pony.
All right, leaving us with one more goblin warrior. So he's going to go 5, 10, 15, 20, 25. He's going to fire his short bow at the paladin. same bonus. How convenient. 21 to hit.
Yeah, that hits me. I think we need to take away these digital dice from Ryan, everybody.
Yeah. No, I like
that. 7 damage from the bow.
Ow! Ow! That's so much pain. Why would you do this, Ryan? I know I was late on an article a couple times, but jeez.
All right, and then with his last action, let's see. I guess he'll just fire again.
That's not good.
Nah. Wow. Natural 20. No, natural 19. So that's a 20.
That hits me. I'm pretty sure I'm going to go down.
Let's see. Yeah. 4 damage.
Yeah, that is 1 point more than I have. So I have 17 damage and I have a 17 total. So I have 0 hit points.
You have 0 hit points and dying 1?
Yes.
We are going to play with the dying rules as we get to your turn. But first, Brayden. Oh, wait. Now I move you in the initiative to right before the person who took you out, I believe.
Yes.
All right. So there we are. And now, like I said, Brayden, it's your turn. Right. An ally has fallen. 2 of them, if you count the horse, although you don't know him very well.
I'm not going to count the horse.
Okay.
What? It's gone anyway.
All right. So I've only got a 20 movement speed. So I'm going to move into the room and start heading towards... I can't get line of sight on Alex. So I'm just got to head towards him. Don't die.
What a battle cry.
Don't die.
That's one action. You got 2 more actions.
All right. So it's all going to be movement. Actually, no. I'm going to go ahead and I'm just going to move into and within one more move of getting to Alex, so I'm not going to be quite there.
Well,
and
if you go to that square, you might have some cover when the goblin starts shooting at you.
I'm going to stay where I am now, and mm-hmm. I'm going to draw my weapon.
All right.
So I'm going to draw my Warhammer.
Ooh. Which brings us back to the top of the initiative, and this super fast goblin, he is going to... he can't charge, so first he will stride. 5, 10, 15, 20, 25, and then he will stride again. 5, 10, 15. Oh, look, a wizard! And he will attack with his dog slicer. Param, how are you feeling?
I'm feeling confident.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
12.
Oh, I don't know if I'm feeling that confident. Let me see my AC here. I have... I'm looking where Hero Lab has my AC at. My armor is... I don't remember, I've trained an armor... Where in the world is it?
So you should have suspense. At least an 11, and then
I have a 14 AC and a 14 touch AC. Oh, wow. Because I invested heavily in dexterity with this character.
Then a lucky dodge, well, a skilled dodge, since you invested heavily in dex, means that the dog slicer just misses you. It whiffs right at your belly.
Ha!
And it took him 2 actions to get up to you, so that was his only attack this round, bringing us to Karhig.
All right, so I'm going to 5, 10, 15, 20 down to there, and I'm going to spend 2 actions, 5, 10, 15, 20, 25, to cast Stabilize on our Noble Paladin.
Yeah.
So that brings you to 1 hit point. Good luck with that 1 hit point. Don't spend it all in one place.
I guess we won't be playing with the dying rules then.
Oh, we still might. If my turn doesn't come out first, don't count him out yet, Ryan.
All right, Riordan, your turn.
Okay. You see this goblin in front of me?
Yeah.
You see his friend way back there? The first one around the corner?
Yes.
I'm going to connect them with electricity! And
cast
Electric Arc!
It's so weird that you can cast spells with somebody right in front of you, and there's no, like, there's no guaranteed attack of opportunity because of it.
Mm-hmm. Does the goblin hit me in the face?
He does not.
Aha! I was smart.
I mean, that's kind of your job description.
Okay, they can make reflex saves.
Good.
And they'll take half damage if they pass, or no damage if they critically pass.
16, I assume, passes?
I don't know. Hold on. I'm trying to find out.
All right, look that up.
14, 15, 16? Where's my magic DC? I'm using Hero Lab, so I'm trying to find where all these things is.
How is Hero Lab 2nd edition?
It is actually super useful now that they've patched a whole lot of things in it, and I was able to really quickly create a bunch of characters. There's just a few things here and there that I'm just not sure where is, which includes my spellcasting bonus. Arcane Focus, Arcane School, Arcane Spellcasting. I am... Okay. The Minimic can be a 16, so that one passed its spell. It might be 17, I'm not sure, but the Minimic can possibly be a 16, so we'll say that until I find out differently.
Alright, I rolled a 16 and a 17, so I'm sorry to inconvenience you, but that's exactly the numbers on the edge that I've rolled.
All right, so they both take one electricity damage.
That's it? Oh, all right. Yeah. Is that based on a roll, or is it just an automatic, if you pass, you get a one?
I rolled a two. And okay. So, assuming they both save, they got a one.
Dizzy.
All right, I will do a 5-foot stride, or what is it, a 5-foot step?
I think it's just called a step
for
now.
One action, so I'll use a step. And
I will allow a diagonal across hard cover just because of the roundedness of the pillars.
Oh, okay. I appreciate that.
Plus, you're small.
And I'm very small. And then I will use my last two actions to deliver a power attack on the fast goblin.
All right.
I think I'm going to connect this time. I have a 19 to hit him.
19 hits.
All right. And on my dice, I am, looks like, 13 points of damage.
Mercy, you slaughter him.
I'm glad.
Yeah, his head goes flying into one of the grave nooks off to the side, and his body falls to his knees and then just kind of leans against your wizard friend before sliding off of him.
Thank you!
I protect my squishy.
I appreciate that.
Alright, one of these goblins is going, the close one. So, we've established they can step around these pillars. 5, 10, 15, 20, 25.
All right, I'm going to take an attack of opportunity on him. And the reason
just for
is...
showing up?
The reason is I have a 10-foot reach because it's a halberd. I just measured
it. Yes, you do.
He entered it, and then he left it as part of a stride. So I'm going to use my reaction to attack of opportunity him.
Now I got a question for you.
Yes.
Does power attack work like it did in first edition, where once you've declared it, all your attacks are power attack until your next turn?
No, power attack is make a strike. This strike gets effects. So this is, and you don't have any minuses on it either. So I would prefer that it worked that way, but it does not. This is just a regular strike at -2.
All right, make your attack.
All right, so I rolled a natural 2, so I'm going to say I missed him.
Probably.
All right, I tried.
Well, he's going to attack you, goblin slaying goblin.
Oh.
Ken, I assume, doesn't hit?
No.
By the way, I've been playing something a little bit wrong. I've been doing a full -5 for their second attacks, but they have an agile weapon, the dog slicer.
Ooh.
So it should only be a -4.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Oh, you needed the help so badly.
Yeah, I'm sure.
19 probably hits your Lauren.
19?
Yes.
Yeah. If you could not hit every single attack you make, that'd be really helpful.
Full damage.
Oh.
Is it possible that there's something wrong with these dice? Like, at this point, I'm starting to question it.
Are they red?
No, they're purple.
To be honest, software dice do usually have runs. It's really hard to tell if it's the algorithm's great or not, but I'm sure Roll20 trusts their dice a whole lot.
All right. I am going to continue to use these digital dice until somebody just says, use your physical dice. I'm tired of getting killed.
Use your physical dice. You've just hit me 3 times, 3 max damages. I am tired of this.
No, we're doing it hard mode. It's the only way to properly test.
Apparently.
All right, next goblin. Ooh, 5, 10, 15, 20, 25. Second action is going to be to pull out his short bow. He'll have to drop his dog slicer, but that's a free action.
And the goblin moved behind the goblin that is currently threatening me and Lauren.
He gets to step. Thank you, Param. Mm-hmm. And that means he gets a shot on you without having to worry about, what you call it?
Screen.
Not cover, screen. Does a 9 hit you, Param?
No.
I didn't think so. These physical dice. What am I doing? All right, Alex, you have a single hit point, which means you are conscious. We don't have to deal with the dying rules at the moment. But you are prone.
I'm going to spend 1 action to stand up.
Okay.
I'm going to spend 1 action to pick my scimitar off the ground.
All right.
And I'm going to spend What was that?
Throw it.
No, never. I'm going to spend 1... actually, I can't because I don't have a free hand to do lay on hands. I have to wait for my good friend,
Well, do you want to reverse the order? Do lay on hands, then stand up and pick up your scimitar?
Yeah, let's do that. I'm going to... On the ground, I'm going to lay on hands myself because I feel like I'm dying. That sounds like a strong call. I rolled a 1, so that's a total of 3 points of damage.
Healing.
Of healing, yeah. Damage healed.
Healing damage.
So, I'm actually thinking that maybe being here is a bad idea. So, I'm going to... 5, 10, 15, 20, 25. I couldn't do that. Nope. I'm going to pick up my sword and ready for the worst.
All right. I will say you don't have to pick up your shield. It was already strapped to your arm.
Yeah. But that's okay because I don't have an action to raise it.
That's true. Well, that goblin is going to start firing some more arrows at you. He feels pretty confident having dropped you for a second there.
I understand.
20 on the first attack.
Yeah. Yeah.
For 6 damage.
I'm unconscious again.
All right. He's got another target in range with... I mean, he's small, but an unconscious paladin is not so much that it's going to screen.
No.
Shot. So, second attack. That is only a 17 to hit Brayden.
That is plenty to hit Brayden.
Oh, no. 1 damage. Ugh. And his last attack, also on Brayden. A natural 1.
Oh.
Brayden, give me a perception check.
That is a 24.
Oh, that is plenty to notice that he's only got 5 arrows left in the pack. And you look around and these goblins do not have many arrows. I mean, for what it's worth, just in case you were getting nervous, you were going to get pelted for a while now.
No.
Oh, you weren't worried about that? You should be.
I think they have enough arrows.
At this point, it's too late to worry about that.
All right. Raiden Forgeborn. You have goblins to the right of you. Fallen ally in front of you. Another goblin just past him. Karrig is right behind you, but I'm sure you can trust the half-orc.
Hey.
He's a dwarf. I'm getting into his head.
I'm going to stride forward, step over the fallen paladin, and attempt to thump the goblin in front of us.
So that's taking 2 stride actions, right? That's 30 feet.
2 stride actions up, and then 1 hit. That's a 16, and... Warhammer is a plus 3, so that's a 19 to hit.
19 hits.
For 5 points of damage.
You knock his jaw basically off. It's clearly come off the joint, but it's still hanging in place. And his eyes start rolling in the back of his head, but then they just roll kind of back into place, and he's just staring at you. Still standing. Kerrig.
Oh, it's creepy. I'm going to 5, 10, 15, 20 over to there, brandishing my scimitar, and then I'm going to spend another two actions to stabilize our paladin again.
Yeah, so by over to there, you mean right behind your fallen paladin ally.
Right, we're going to form a protective bubble of other conscious bodies around him this time.
All right, Riordan, you've got goblin guts on you, but all other goblins in your face.
Okay. I am going to spend one action to cast the electric shock again on the two goblins in front of me and my friendly goblin pal. They need to make reflex saves again. And I found out the DC is actually 15.
Oh. Well, then both of them made it last time. So it's the same two. Mm-hmm. No. Is it the same two? No, one of the ones you scorched last time is dead.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yes.
I just had the Twitch channel open for a second there, and I was trying to click on my tokens.
I have done that so many times.
All right, so we will start with the slightly scorched one.
Mm-hmm.
He makes it.
Okay.
And then the not scorched one makes it even more.
Oh, boy. All right, so they will take so after...
You're taking half of whatever you're rolling.
Okay, I rolled a 4.
2 damage.
Hey, twice as good as last time.
That's true.
It's progress.
And I want to use my third action to cast shield.
Good call. Nice. Dizzy.
All right, so things are getting pretty hairy. I have to kick it in the gear here if we're going to get out of this. So from this position, I'm just going to start striking until they're all dead.
All right, how does reach work when you're attacking an adjacent creature in 2nd edition?
So what's nice is in 2nd edition, when you read the reach rules, it says this weapon can also be used to attack creatures that are 10 feet away.
I remembered something like that, but it's good to know that you know it officially.
Mm-hmm. So what I'm going to do is I'm first going to hit the one directly in front of me.
Okay.
All right, so I rolled a 9, but I might still pull it off. I have a 15 to hit him.
15 hits.
All right. Let's see what my damage is. Not very good. It is 6 points of damage.
That is enough. He is unconscious and dying.
Okay. I'll take another strike on the one that is in front of Param. This one's going to be at -5. So a total of +1. It's a natural 20.
Nice.
You can just set him down if you want. I don't mind.
I like the rolling of the dice.
Okay. Let's see if we can confirm it. Maybe. Do I confirm it with a 14?
We don't confirm anymore.
You don't have to confirm.
Oh, well, there we go. Yeah. We'll just take a double
just
damage.
Just enjoy your crit.
Yeah.
I am going to enjoy this. 9, 18. Let's see. 26.
26 damage?
Yes.
what happens here is that you stab the close goblin, turn to strike the second goblin, and actually... The first goblin is still skewered on your weapon, and as you hit the second one, it launches the first goblin into the other one, crushing the other goblin against the wall, making him unrecognizable as anything but like a corpsey cloak on the first dead goblin.
Nice. See, I have that kind of weird strength that people have when they come from like the farm, and they don't look really strong, but then they can just like bend horseshoes with their hands. Anyway, I'm going to use my last action for striding. I'm going to try and get somewhere that I can put my reach weapon to use. So I'll go 5, 10, and forward. So I'll come here.
They still have actions. Wow.
What's your... Oh, by the way, the hampering is done by now.
Okay. So that's my 15 feet. That's all I got.
Razul, you are dying. Oh, good. We get to do this after all.
So James stabilized me on his last turn, so I'm not dying. But we did it wrong last time because according to the stabilize cantrip, it puts me at 1 hit point, but it doesn't make me conscious. I have to make a recovery saving throw to gain consciousness.
Oh. All right. Yeah. We're not going to go back on what we did, but yes, I'll try and keep that in mind.
So the DC is equal to the class DC of the thing that knocked me out plus my dying condition. So right now I'm at dying 1 because James's cantrip doesn't reduce my dying condition until he's 8th level. So Yeah, so it just stops me. It brings me to one hit point, but it doesn't drop the condition for the purpose of making it easier for me to wake up. So the saving throw I have to beat is the saving throw of the attack or ability that knocked me unconscious. So if the stat block calls out the goblin's class DC, I roll that plus one is what I have to hit.
It does. The class DC is zero.
Okay. The class DC is zero?
That's the top right corner.
Huh. I thought it was equal to 10 plus like his key score plus something else.
Well, then I'm looking at the wrong thing. So his key score would be dex.
Okay. This says a class DC usually includes the key ability modifier for a character's class. The GM might sometimes decide that a different ability score is appropriate. The GM will use a high difficulty skill DC of the monster's level. See page 338 or 336.
What level of the monster's level? Zero.
So according to the book, a high difficult. If he's level zero, it's 12. If he's level one, it's 14. If he's level two, it's 15.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So I have to roll a 13, 12 plus my dying condition.
And this is a flat roll, right?
No, it's a fortitude save.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So I rolled a 15, and I have a fortitude of plus 3. So I become conscious and can take my turn normally, but I lose one action in the turn. So I can only take two actions.
Okay.
I still have the dying condition.
You do?
So, yeah, you don't. On subsequent rounds, I can make checks to try to get rid of it.
Okay.
But if you technically, if you knocked me out again, like I would actually be dying two right now instead of dying one because James's ability doesn't reduce it. So, what I'm going to do is I'm going to get up and I'm going to acknowledge that I just should not be here and I'm going to move around this corner.
Okay. Hold on.
Braden, prepare your reactions because this guy is taking a step.
Yep.
I don't have any reactions for that.
All right, then he gets two attacks on you. First one is a 12. Second one is off the
table. That's a regular AC?
Against your regular AC.
It misses.
Okay, second attack. Natural one.
That also misses.
Two fewer arrows. No blood to show for it. And Braden, it's your turn.
We're just going to move up on him. And I will take two hits. So... 11.
11 does not hit.
I didn't figure. All right. Well, it's a natural 20, but it's minus 5, so it's 15. 18.
Natural 20 is natural crit, I believe, in all circumstances.
It's always going to hit or always a crit?
It's always a success, but it's only a critical success if it would have hit anyway. But it's still a success.
Okay. So it's a success. What was your modified total?
18.
18's a hit.
Okay. So that's a... double damage. So that is 12, 14, 16 points of damage to the goblin.
Ooh. Yeah, this was the goblin that was barely alive. You hit him again. It actually knocks his jaw back into place, and he kind of thanks you for a second, and then those eyes that were rolling just kind of roll right out of his face. Mm-hmm. Aww. And he collapses.
It's especially appropriate that on my screen there was a glitch in which the health bar went past zero and then to like negative 100.
Yeah. Yeah. Also, good job, crits, everybody. Good job.
I sit down and pant heavily. I am at 2 hit points and I am exhausted.
Yeah, I am completely out of hit points and I have no spell points to use lay on hands.
We could take that 10 minutes now.
All right.
Everybody wants to gather around. We'll I'll blow off one of the aura heals.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Let's kumbaya, everyone.
Yeah, and if we're taking 10 minutes, I'll make that delicious blueberry.
Can you only make one at a time?
Yep.
Oh.
I believe so. I believe only one can exist at a time.
Yeah.
It's all right. It's just spell points.
Param, are you hurt too?
I am not injured.
The blood on his clothes is not his own.
It's mostly Dizzy's blood, actually.
Yeah. So I have
8 on the die. Add my ability modifier for that, so we all get 12.
Nice. Ooh. If you got any more, I wouldn't be upset about getting it.
Is this the heal spell?
Yep.
I think it just does your ability modifier. I don't think you get to add the die, dude.
Let me double check that. Mm-hmm. Since it's the burst, you may be right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it says you disperse positive energy in a 30-foot aura. This has the same effect as the two-action version, but targets all living and undead creatures and reduces the amount of healing or damage to your spellcasting ability modifier.
All right, so everybody just gets a little bit.
Oh, okay. Aww. Well, then I could still use a lot more of them.
Yeah.
So actually, I'm sorry. I think I can make more than one at a time. They just last for a day. But it takes me 10 minutes to make one. I mean, I'll still make one while we're doing.
Is there anything that told us we had to rush through this, Ryan? Or can we, like, rest and, like, regain resources and come back? Because we're pretty badly beat up and expended.
So she did say that she was hoping to get it back in time for the festival, which I said was 7 days later, but I just want to confirm that now that it's actually relevant.
Well, anyway,
you definitely have a day to spare, and as we already established, you can get back to the streets without much issue.
Okay.
Before we go, let's go search through the garbage pile and make sure that we don't leave anything behind that they can gather up.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Sounds all good. Right, you can search through that garbage pile. I'm not touching it.
I'm mage handing through it. I'm not getting anywhere near it. It's disgusting.
Oh, I'll get all the way in it. I mean, was there even a doubt, honestly?
Good news. I was right. You have 7 days to get her the Star of Desna back.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful.
All right, you want to know about this pile of garbage?
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of been in two separate piles it looks like they were kind of fixing a contraption to join them in the middle about 3 feet off the ground. So it's basically two narrow columns that are kind of, affixing together. Mm-hmm. Which I will tell you, Dizzy, because you are more familiar with goblin art. It looks like they're erecting a statue.
Oh, they make very fancy goblin art. These were artists that we just butchered.
Oh well, I'm sure that they'll get over it.
I mean, I didn't butcher anybody.
That's right, these are artists that I butchered. Now I feel bad.
Did you see the one on that wall? That is a crime against nature.
I did pull all of the weight here after running away, so you should be ashamed.
I lightly tickled them.
I helped. I summoned a pony.
All right, we need to go get some rest.
Was there anything in the pile of gunk worth noticing?
You should can, notice the
search
art.
It with a perception.
Oh, okay. I rolled a 14 perception.
14 perception. So you are looking through it. You don't find anything of note. I'm just trying to find the compass. Where is north?
I have a compass.
That's nice. Doesn't help me with where north is on the map, though.
It spins around in a circle like a loading screen icon for a mouse while Ryan tries to figure out which direction is actually north.
Is there any moss down here? Where's it growing?
To the north.
It's also spinning around the rocks.
All right, Param, I will tell you that you see a glint of silver in one of the corpse nooks, whatever they're called.
Okay. Then I start reaching in with magic hand and pulling stuff out until something silver comes out.
It's not a corpse nook, it's a burial niche.
Okay.
Aren't those nymphs?
It could be a body burrow for all I care. There's some loot in there and I'm getting it out.
You also are a hipster.
You find a tarnished silver ring and some kind of bubbling beverage.
Hmm. This is probably like goblin brew. I'm not really interested, so I hand it to our goblin friend.
Smell it.
How do you identify potions in second edition, according to the playtest? I believe
doesn't it take like a day? Look something crazy.
Does it?
I thought I did. Didn't we have this conversation, James? That like identifying stuff takes forever.
It turns out it's identifying like lingering magic effects.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah, I believe for a potion it would be alchemy.
Alchemy and not arcane, or arcana.
Unless it was made that way, I think it would be.
I don't think there is an alchemy skill, is there?
No.
Okay, I'm crazy then.
No, there's got to be an alchemy skill, isn't there?
That's a craft skill.
Oh. I'm trying to remember what was on the pre-gen sheet, and I thought it was like probably craft alchemy.
Identify magic. It's under arcana. Once you discover that an item, location, or ongoing effect is magical, you can spend an hour to attempt to identify the particularities of its magic. It takes an hour.
Okay. I will do this outside the horrible death sewer.
All right, so you're all officially leaving and going up to the surface?
I think that's best.
Sounds like.
All right, there's nothing between you and the surface that is a threat, so you're able to do that. Mm-hmm. You find a nice bench to bleed on and spend an hour looking at a bubbling jar.
And arcana check! Not a very good one. Let's see. Arcana, that is a 14.
What's the DC?
What's the level of the item? Then you go over to the 336 page and choose...
It's 146. Cantrips in first level are DC 13. That's for identifying and learning a spell, not an item.
Where does it is a level 1 item.
It says the GM sets the DC for the check. Based on the spell one. Based on the previous one that you guys were talking about.
Or it's the price. It also says the price of the item sets the DC. So is the item... So if it's 20 silver or less, it's D13. If it's 60 silver to 21, it's 16. If it's 160 to 61, it's 19.
It's 3 gold, so it's 30 silver.
Okay, so that would be DC 16.
Oh, then I do not know.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, that's kind of confusing.
Yeah, if it's a first or second level spell, it'd be 13. Or first or cantrip, sorry.
Yeah.
Well, so, why would you say that? That's different from what Alex just explained.
Because they're both on the same chart.
Yeah. It's like there's one column for, like, it says if it's a spell of this level or an item of this cost, this is the DC. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense, Ryan?
Yes. So this is an item and not a spell being cast. So we use the item's cost.
Yeah.
Everyone agrees?
Yeah.
Sure.
Yep.
Okay. So I'm afraid you have no idea what this potion could be.
So what's the plan on the surface?
It even is a potion.
Are we going to go rest and like re-get spells and heal up, or are we going to just take a breather and get back down?
I think we should rest and re-get back spells and then go back down, personally. What do you guys think?
Then that means you have a few hours to keep trying to identify this if you want.
Can you identify a potion again that you've already failed at?
I can't try again for one day.
I can try again. I can try again tomorrow. What I would like to recommend is that we heal first, then rest and get spells back.
That sounds smart to me. Are we just gonna sleep on this bench all night?
Or do we have a place to find a room?
You're in Magnemar. You have homes here.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's
or at
right.
At least somewhere you've been sleeping for the last weeks or months or years. Or
I go to the park and I pitch my tent.
Or you can do that.
You can all bunk with me in my tiny apartment.
I'll do that, because I don't know where I live.
We not need to spend much time figuring out who's sleeping where. You all have access to somewhere you can sleep comfortably.
Do we have enough healing to heal us up to full before we do this?
Yeah. Who are worse two?
I need 12.
I'm down 12 as well.
All right, so let's start with the goblin. Mm-hmm. So Dizzy gets back, and I'll do this by touch. 11.
Very helpful.
Wow. Right. Mm-hmm. He was hoarding all the good magic.
And the paladin. You had to gloat about me hoarding all the good magic.
Yep, I know. Go ahead.
You get 6.
Yep, told you. See, he's hoarding all the good magic.
Soren Ray believes in karma.
This is why you speak softly and carry a big stick like I do.
Nope. That is not the way of my people.
Is that all the healing that you that you still have?
That is all of my channel energy for the day.
All right. If you spend 40 minutes with me, I can make 4 good berries that will heal you 1d4 plus 4. So.
Well, after we rest, we'll each get back hit points equal to your constitution modifier times your level. So I won't need any more healing today if we're going to sleep.
Your constitution. Also point out, minimum your level.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Good.
So I would get back 1 hit point. I am not a very burly elf.
Here, eat these 3 blueberries and tell me how you feel.
Oh, God, I'll eat all of them.
So the static on that is 12.
That completely brings me up.
There you
go. So I don't know what god you worship Brennan in, but clearly his nature magic does better healing.
You're an elf. Mm-hmm.
I don't understand what that's supposed to mean.
Who's your god, by the way, Brennan?
Torag.
That's it, the dwarf god. They're just...
I don't know why I'm surprised. He doesn't like elves. Of course he's not going to let you heal me good.
He likes me.
Yeah, well, I can't explain that.
I got nothing for that one.
Both of you are closer to the ground than he is.
That's true.
All right, so back into the sewers?
Back into the sewers.
All right, before I go, I'm going to make 4 good berries that will last the day. Dizzy, you take one. Actually, everybody take one.
Okay.
Yeah, everybody take one.
Oh, the good berry. This is the real berry, everybody.
So it's 1d4 plus 4 if you need it.
So I am going to say that you had time to study the map that you were given, and I had time to hide the tokens that should have been hidden to begin with.
That makes more sense.
So the entire map will be revealed to you.
I am good at survival.
I think I like these rules for good berry. 1d4 plus 4 is useful enough that people will actually use it.
Yeah, it's based off my wisdom mod, so it's 1d4 plus wisdom.
I got some bad news for you, Ryan.
Ah, I see him.
Anyway, I'm going to roll on that potion again. And do even worse.
There is a critical failure for identifying potions.
Oh, good. Then I did that.
Oh, no.
You totally identify it as whatever Ryan thinks it is.
Oh, that's an acid flask.
Oh, wonderful.
It is bubbling.
I know exactly. That makes sense, actually. I'm going to throw this at the first enemy I see.
Well, life is not good for us right now.
Oh, this is so bad.
We're fine.
This is a good time to point out that this was supposed to be a secret roll that Ryan rolls for me.
Oh, that's a good point.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. So are we at a point now where we can just stack up where we left off?
Yes. I haven't even moved your tokens. Mm-hmm. So if everyone is comfortable with where they were standing, you are standing there once again. Oh!
Okay.
Harry just moved.
Get in position.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You're going to get in position to what?
To march forward. Just, you know, I'm getting in formation.
Ignoring the other alcoves?
Do we want to go into these stinky goblin holes?
Oh, yeah. I go into this goblin hole.
Yeah, let's do that.
Yeah, let's check the first one.
Marching order.
Oh, okay.
Well, it's exploration mode, so give me an idea of who wants to go where. Are you willing to split up? What's going on?
I'm going to stay with the wizard because he offered his apartment, and that was nice, so I'm going to keep him safe.
I will go first. I still do not fear death.
Well, I go first. You seem to be going along the path. Everyone else is checking out the alcoves. I'm calling the south.
I am going to stay there and guard the door then.
Gotcha.
I'll have my weapon out doing the defending tactic.
All right. Okay. And Karag, you were pinging over here, but now you're closest to the pillar or the alcove on the complete opposite side.
Yeah, I don't know what sorcery happened there, but yeah, I was over here and I meant over here.
All right.
Yep.
Okay, here so doesn't
you
mean...
are looking at southeast. Everyone else is close to the one in the middle, and then there is another alcove to the south. Oh, no, sorry. That's southwest, so you're near the one that's... Yeah, let me start over. Karag is near the one southwest. Everyone else is near the one in the middle, except for Alex's character. And then there is another alcove to the east. So, Karag,
perception,
what would you like to do?
Looking inside for any other goblin treasures, hints, maybe the star.
Wouldn't that be convenient?
That would be, but I get a sick 9. I feel like I'm looking well, though.
You're looking fine.
The walls of this gently curving passageway are covered in thin, fibrous tendrils that connect to a large mass of red fungus glowing in the center of this small vault. Center mass is almost 3 feet high, from which several long, pale gray stalks have extended upward to brush against the ceiling.
Huh. Can I use my knowledge of nature to identify this?
Please do.
That is 23.
23 is enough to tell you that there is the threat of mind fog fungus. If you enter this room, you are at risk of having your mind completely taken over by spores. But some... you can burn it to get rid of the threat of the fungus, but doing so will release a cloud of these spores. A virulent cloud of spores. So fire is both the solution and it creates a new problem.
Gotcha. Don't go in that room. That room is filled with terrible spores.
Oh, good.
Can we burn it?
We might just want to leave it alone. Discretion, better part of valor. A wise goblin said that once yesterday.
My wise.
I need to stay away from it then, because sometimes things just accidentally set fire around me.
So, Karog, started reading that description, assuming that you were staying in the room that you're in and just peering inside. I did look and see that you'd actually moved your token inside, but I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt that you stopped as soon as you were able to identify that this is a threat, which, you know, being a competent druid who made an excellent nature roll, you would know not to go that far in because that would have triggered the whole thing.
Right. I was trying to be clear about where I was going and not confusing, and mm-hmm. It's just like when I walk in and I see a man wearing nothing but an apron and a cleaver, I'd go the other way. Obviously dangerous.
That's oddly specific.
This is nature's apron and cleaver.
It's a fae. Fae are just inconsistent.
All right. Then the three of you, mm-hmm. I see near the central alcove. Are you interested in exploring it, peeking in? What do you want to do?
So I'm using defending. I'm defending while the tall folks mm-hmm. do their stuff.
All right. So tall folks, let's go in order of height from least to most. Mm-hmm. Braden.
I just want to peek in. Mm-hmm. Take a look around.
And Ryordan, I assume you're not going to blow past him to inspect closely?
No, I'll let him do his thing first.
All right, Braden.
I just move forward a little bit.
All right, narrow passage opens up into a small burial vault that has been ransacked. Hmm. Shattered remains of skeletons lie on the floor in twisted heaps among scattered rocks and debris, but the bodies of four recently killed goblins on display in the four niches are much more intact.
Did we put the goblins in here?
No.
Oh.
And these aren't the goblins you killed. The goblins you killed are still laying about the chamber.
Important point of order. Are the goblins we killed still here?
Yes.
Okay.
That would have been smart to ask earlier.
Yeah, these are different goblins, from what you can tell, that have been hung up on display. Yeah, we'll call it on display.
That seems not a good place to be right now.
Brian, can I interject for a second?
Sure. Medicine
check. Do the goblins still have their blood since I'm over there?
You are not over there from what I can see.
No, not in the central alcove, the ones we killed yesterday.
Oh, okay. So you're looking at those bodies. Yeah. Boy, their blood got splattered all over the floor, which is now stained with their blood.
My medicine is a 14. If that tells me anything, whether or not their blood is coagulated in their bodies or whether it was drained by some, hobgoblin vampire, like somebody mentioned.
So these bodies seems like no one has touched them since you killed them all.
Excellent. Mm. The vampire has not come here yet.
You might be interested in inspecting the bodies in the alcove to see the same thing.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if they tell me that there are goblin bodies in there. I'm still defending this corridor.
That's a good point. Braden, when you discover these bodies, do you let everyone know?
I'll kind of whisper it back. There's bodies in here. Mm-hmm. but probably not loud enough to necessarily carry all the way over to Alex.
Well, that's when I will very loudly ask the questions about the bodies I just did earlier.
All right, so I think that it's safe to assume, Alex, that Razul will have picked up that there's a conversation about bodies going on over there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Did somebody say corpses?
No, they said bodies.
Ah, that's the same thing. That word is just simply less elegant.
Who are you talking to?
Why is he so excited?
Well, no, but if the bodies have no blood, then clearly the vampire has taken them. Did you check to see if they were if any had blood, Brennan?
That's
I'll
smart.
I'll go in and closely examine one of them. I swear they come after me. I'm coming after you first.
I will smite them if they do. It'll be fine.
So I will go and look at the body closest to where I am. I guess it's this alcove. Screen's moving on me. There.
Okay.
And I've got a little bit of medicine.
Okay. Make a medicine check, please.
9.
You're looking at the bodies, and your 9 is not going to really give you much information. They've been dead for a few days, you figure. So whatever you've discovered is odd for a corpse, would have been odd for a fresh corpse. These ones have had a couple of days for the rigor mortis to set in.
They're too old. Can't tell.
Ah, you see, you're not patient enough. I will try.
Dizzy is bored and goes to the next alcove.
I will spend a ridiculous amount of time checking the corpses thoroughly. I roll a 10.
A 10 is also not enough to give you any valid information about these bodies.
Good job. I believe you are correct. There is no information to be gathered here, which means they probably weren't drained. We'll go back to my post and make sure that no monsters enter this room.
Which brings us to Dizzy. Flanked by Riordan, who have moved on to the eastern alcove. How are you approaching this, Dizzy?
Well, what do you think, Riordan?
If you don't mind a moment, I'm going to cast light on a rock and just pitch it in.
Okay.
Your helmet won't glow for a couple of minutes. I do exactly as I said.
All right. Oh, and you catch 6 giant centipedes off guard for a second, and they scatter and try and hide in the rocks and whatever.
There's a whole bunch of nope in here.
Yep, this room empty. We can leave now.
Let's get out of here. Nope.
Excellent.
How do they sound so excited?
All right, Razul, you are back up at this long corridor that seems to be heading into, the deeper dungeon. Doesn't Correct. Even seem to be. You've got a map that if you trust, this does lead to more interesting things. Let's get a marching order.
I will be first since I was here guarding this passageway first.
I have to let it have it. I was the firstest lastest time. Mm-hmm.
I'm not worried about firstest or lastest. It's just convenience. My body is already parked here in front of this opening. Don't worry. Should Sarenrae see it fit to knock me unconscious again, I'll gladly offer you first to go.
Jeez, you talk a lot. Can we get moving?
Oh, young one, you have so much to learn. I move into the next room.
I'm not young, I'm 7.
That is quite young.
This hallway it's fine, it's narrow. Well, it's only slightly narrow. You're all comfortable in it. It's just that for the first time you've had to go single file and there's no room for, doubling up. And you hear dripping water before you come into this room and see... the sound of dripping water echoes through this chamber. On the north side of the room, a nearly 10-foot tall visage of a woman's face is carved into the wall. Oh, good. So now I know that this is north. Ooh. Let's try and keep that in mind.
Nice. Does the woman's face resemble Sarenrae's face?
Well, you do know that trickles of water run down her cheeks like tears into a foul and polluted reservoir below.
No.
So the like is... It's like tears. The whole thing wasn't a metaphor. They're dripping like tears, What's actually happening is those tears are going into a foul and polluted reservoir below, which itself drains into a large pool of fetid black water on the south side of the room. And I can reveal a picture of what this statue looks like.
That looks very much more creepy than the very nice paladin-looking girl I saw earlier.
What paladin-looking girl? Oh, okay, I think I see who you're talking about.
And is that statue also encrusted in grime, or...?
The grime seems to mostly be in the pool in front of her.
Since I'm in front, may I make a religion check to see if I know if this person is of religious significance?
Yes, you may.
Okay. I only rolled a 9. I don't know who that is.
Mr. Razul, she's spooky.
She's very spooky, Goblin. You've done a good job.
My name Dizzy. Come on.
You're right, Ryan. Dizzy. I apologize.
Ryan?
Yes, Andrew?
Can I make an attempt on the religion roll?
Yes, you may.
Probably not. That's a 10.
I am looking up to see the DC. I vaguely remember it saying that you should be able to identify her without making the roll, and I am not coming on across that information. So I'm going to say the 10 is enough. It is Pharasma.
That makes sense. I was going to guess that because she has a dagger and an hourglass.
Goddess of birth, death, and fate.
Nice.
So I'm going to get out my drawing kit and sketch her.
I'm going to barge into the room because this is taking too long.
I mean, what is doing art?
Dizzy, do not be impatient. You'll have many, many more years to burst into places. You should take things slowly so you don't die.
I'm not listening.
Dizzy, wait. You're going to get yourself murdered. There's only one decent goblin in Galarian, apparently, and it's you. We can't have you go off and killing yourself.
In all fairness, you do know a lot about getting murdered.
I do. That's why I'm telling you not to go first.
Is there any way we could examine the muck? Does it just look like terrible rainwater, or does it look like the fizzy, bubbly flask that our wizard has, or...
You can examine the muck. No, it doesn't look like the flask that your wizard has.
Yeah, it has to be safe.
Let's see. Do you want to do a nature check to examine the muck?
Yeah. I got an 8. This is obviously not natural.
You don't know? You really don't know, do you?
No. I'm not a sewer druid.
It's okay. You'll be fine. At least there are no burning skeletons here.
So far. So about those doors. It looks like there's a door ahead and then a door to the east.
Yes.
Mr. Rorden, you seem real smart. Where do you think we should go?
Let me see here. I think
we should go to this door.
Well, I hate to agree with him.
You hate to agree with him.
Because he keeps interrupting me.
Well, no, but it's elementary, because clearly the vampire wouldn't use this door because it's further away. Even though it looks like it's a straight shot, everyone knows that vampires can't cross running water like this pool. Therefore, the most logical choice is that door.
The logic checks out to me.
Teeming with logic.
I want to point out to everybody and all of our listeners / viewers that Razul has the dubious knowledge skill feat.
I have the knowledge of children's books. I actually took that. So if fairy tale knowledge comes up, I'm going to roll for it.
I just am used to mapping ruins by always turning right.
So it doesn't sound like anyone's disagreeing with this door.
Let's go through that door. That door is awesome.
All right. Looks like the marching order switched up. Is everyone happy with the new order?
It's fine.
With Carrig second. All right. And Brayden last. So, Dizzy, you're the one handling the door?
All right. I'm just going to start going until you tell me to stop.
It's locked.
Oh, I stop immediately. Well, if we try other door now. It's locked.
I don't know if any of us have the ability to pick a lock. I mean, is it a wooden door?
Huh. Good question. It is made of ancient wood.
I mean, it's temporarily blocked. It's not locked.
Well, Is the other door open?
You go to the other door?
Yeah, is it open?
You open it. Setting off a crude alarm. There's just bones and metal hanging on the other side, and as you open it, it jingles, a jingle that echoes through the hallway below, beyond.
You don't know. You don't know that wasn't going to happen at the other door, too. You don't know.
Well, to be fair, my backup plan for the other door was to bash it violently, and I think that would have made more noise.
So wait, so this door over here where Dizzy is the one that jingled?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And this door is locked, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
New plan, weapons out.
Yep.
Yeah.
I shrug as I approach where Dizzy is, and I say, that's fine, the vampire will just come to us now.
Oh, you can go first then.
Very well.
Very dangerous. You go first.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It's on you.
Just give me a second. I'm making sure I understand what's going on in the next rooms now that they've heard you.
Mm-hmm. Oh, what? They?
Did I say they?
Oh,
I meant now that no one has heard you.
Good.
Because there's only one enemy here. It's the vampire. These are all just tenants that we ran into.
I'm pretty sure it's just like a half-orc with a really bad overbite.
You know, like, you could have a vampire who lives in a big city and be like, yo, I'll lease you part of my awesome castle as an apartment to you. You'll just have to pay me in your blood. He'd probably get takers, especially in, like, Kaer Morhaith.
That explains my landlord.
Right?
All right, door is open, mm-hmm. and there is a hallway in front of you. It branches off just as the sketch that you were given says it would.
Excellent. Where should we go? Should we go to the cavern that's squiggly, or the cavern that's circular, or the cavern that's a rectangle?
So are we all the way in there now?
Nope.
All right,
as far as I know, you're all standing where your tokens are.
Just give
them
a push.
Which means we're still in the room, the pool.
We go now, forward, tall one. Let's go.
Now, we need to plan in which direction we're going to go.
Forward.
Forward's
so
good.
We're going to go to that first squiggly room.
Squiggly room sounds good.
Thank you, Brennan. I'm glad that somebody here is sensible. I move into this one, and I peer into the squiggly room over here, Ryan.
Perception. All right.
I roll a 15. 14 plus
perception,
one.
You say.
Yeah.
Don't mind me. Yeah, nothing. As far as you can tell, there is an empty room down that way, which your map does say connects back around through a series of tunnels.
As far as I can see, friends, this room is empty. Shall we explore, or should we continue onward?
I trust you.
Yeah, let's go somewhere else.
Very well. I will continue down the hallway to this room. I peer into this room. This time I rolled a 12 perception.
All right, narrow flight of stairs winds downward, descending into the circular chamber. Stone beers. Fires? B-I-E-R-S.
Spires.
B-I-E-R-S.
I
don't know.
Fires.
All right, stone fires line the walls, but the bodies that may have once rested upon them now lie scattered across the floor.
They're pronounced beers.
Beers? Yeah.
Movable frame.
It's another word for pillar?
A movable frame in which a coffin or corpse is placed before burial.
Oh, okay.
We should probably investigate that.
Ah, yes. I see the coffin. That is exactly where we must go. Forward, comrades!
Wait, the circular room is not forward. It is left.
But I thought he was talking about this room because he's talking about spires and stuff.
No, no spires. Nobody said spires. Byers.
Byers.
Okay, let's look in there then. I'm so confused.
Jeez, don't you know what a buyer is? Come on,
don't you know
picture.
The letter B? Even our goblin knows the letter B.
You can make a perception check or a religion check as you're walking in, Alex.
I'll try a religion check. I only roll an 11, though.
That's enough.
There are hints of Pharasma iconography that have been just destroyed, scratched up, covered up with muck. Mm-hmm.
Dizzy, come quickly and check this room. I step into the center.
Let's roll for initiative.
Okay.
Yes.
I am right behind, though.
Yeah, we need to advance the marching line.
As you can see, these holy symbols of Phrasma have been defaced. Phrasma hates the undead. Therefore, there is definitely a vampire in this place. Ah! That's not a vampire, but it is dead.
Yeah, the bones start to rise up.
Are they on fire?
They are.
Do you want them to be?
I don't think so.
No.
No.
Oh.
No. The original Carhag from first edition would always get knocked out by burning skeletons. they are James's antithema. It's great.
Oh, but I want to set them on fire.
Okay. As long as they don't radiate it.
Y'all got a chance to do that as I add them to initiative. Oh, everyone, yeah. Enjoy adding yourselves, rolling for initiative as well. What is wrong with this guy? Why isn't he? That's funny. Oh, there we go. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 skeletons I got to roll for initiative for.
Very
remember to call out your initiative numbers, otherwise it's just dead air.
Mine. Well, everybody at once.
Alright, let's do it all at once. I rolled a 7 and get +1, therefore I am not going first. I'm too busy basking in the glory of the fact that I'm right and there are undead in this place.
I'm really busy.
I got a 10, average.
I have an 8, so I'm just counting them.
I didn't want to be too different from the group, so I went ahead and rolled a 6 just to get right in that middle zone.
Wonderful, wonderful.
Yeah, you know, you've got to be a team player, you know.
That's one initiative for every skeleton.
Yeah.
Speaking of skeletons, they have initiative.
They have lot of initiative.
So let me just double check to see if the skeletons are slowed or anything like that. Looks like they've got the regular... that's the wrong ones. Yeah, there we go. Skeleton guards. Mm-hmm. Oh, they're each armed with a scimitar. Scimitar is forceful. This weapon becomes more dangerous when you build up momentum. When you attack with it more than once on your turn, the second attack adds a circumstance bonus to damage equal to the number of weapon damage dice, and each subsequent attack adds a circumstance bonus to damage equal to double the number of weapon damage dice. All right, let's see how that plays out.
Do they look broken?
The skeletons, the scimitars?
The scimitars.
No, they're nice, clean, fresh.
All skeletons buffed in Pathfinder 2 confirmed.
This one takes a step. He's going to take a forceful attack against our paladin, which is only an 11. But he's going to try again.
I mean, the 11 will miss me.
Yeah, and a 3?
Nope.
3 also misses, but boy, you feel like if that one had hit, it would have hurt more.
Yeah. It's a good thing I am also wielding a scimitar, Ryan. I just haven't had luck with it so far.
Aww. All right, another skeleton is stepping forward and gets 2 attacks. Well, that doesn't count. We've got an 11 again. And a 6.
Nope.
These skeletons are no goblins. Seriously, you got the highest initiative was a 10.5. Wow. All right, more skeletons are going. This one takes a step and attacks.
We were surprised.
16 to hit you, Alex.
A 16. Oh, I'm flat-footed, though, right?
No, they're not rogues.
Oh, okay. So no, 16 will not hit me.
And his second attack is only a 13.
Aha! Look at me!
All right. Hold on, I thought that's the one that just went. Did I make a mistake? Who was the last? Oh, sorry. So this guy should have gone before him. Takes a step, 2 attacks. No, and... Oh, nope, that's only a 15.
Nope. Ha ha! My armor protects me from your vileness. Not your vileness, Ryan. The
room full of skeletons that are just mobbing Razul, and nothing is hitting.
Yeah, there's just too many of them. I'm going to cast Grease, and I'm going to do it back in the square here.
How does Grease work in 2nd edition?
So Grease in 2nd edition works... Pretty similarly to first edition. I'm just trying to find its exact spell page here. It does the radius there, and everybody has to make a save to avoid slipping and sliding like a slip and slide.
All right, sorry. What was the radius?
I believe it's a 5-foot radius, or it's like a 10-foot, 5-foot radius, 10-foot box, like before.
Okay, so you can get three of the ones towards the back?
Yep.
And by the way, Alex, you're lucky. I forgot to notice that you were flanking by that last attack. Oh. One of them might have hit, but I forget what the exact roll was.
It's also important to know that their save is not going to be reflex. They're going to have to make acrobatics checks.
Ah.
The skeletons start parkouring.
So then they are untrained, which means it is their level minus two?
Yep, plus their dex bonus.
And actually, it's a contiguous set of 4 or 5 foot squares.
Oh, you know what? Oh, they are trained in acrobatics. Oh, all right.
Oh, that's weird.
So sorry, what was that?
So it's James? 4 or 5 foot squares that are contiguous. So I'm just going to go 1, 2, 3, 4, and just like in that Tetris piece shape.
All right, makes the most sense to me.
Mm-hmm. Right. And yeah, once again, they all have to make that save.
So we will start with...
And it's 15, it's a DC.
This one, then go across the row, and then do the one in the back last.
Mm-hmm. Like this, sorry, James. Fails.
Yep.
Second one succeeds. Third one fails. And the last one fails. So the only one that's standing is the one right here in the middle of this pack of skeletons.
Yeah, the other ones lose their balance and fall.
All right, so they're prone.
That's my turn. Good
prone icon. All right, no time for a good prone icon. You're pink. Pink.
We can remove the green boxes.
Pink is prone. All right, finally, we have one skeleton that never went. Oh, it's the one in the back. So he stands up. That's one action. Mm-hmm. Or does he just stand up, or does he have to make another acrobatics check to stand?
Oh, I hope he falls.
If he enters the square again, he has to do it. But he's not entering it. He's in it.
Okay, so he could stand up, no problem. And then move to this square. This square. What's his speed? 25 feet, so they can get around. 5, 10, 15, 20. He is good, and so he gets to attack Alex one.
Well, now hold on. You know what I'm going to tell you, right? We're about to attack opportunity.
Oh, you
get
an attack of opportunity. Yes, you do.
All right.
Make it so.
I'm going to take it. This is at minus 2, so I've got a plus 4 on it. I rolled a 12. Can I hit him with a 14?
14 hits.
How does he feel about 8 points of damage?
He feels nothing. He is undead. And on top of that, he's dead.
Nice. He's real dead.
Gone.
Good job.
Thank you.
Oops.
Huh? You passed me up, Brian.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Ryerdan.
You light the greasy skeletons on fire.
That's exactly what I'm going to do. So I'm going to step up here. Here, here.
After everything
here,
we just established about how you feel about flaming skeletons.
Here.
I'm out of the room now. That's their problem.
All right. And then I'm going to burning
hands. No reactions to anything you just did.
I'm going to burning hands the 4 skeletons, the 4 skeletons, including all 3 that are in the grease and the one in front of me.
The one in front of you is just fine. But then these 2 by the wall are actually the ones that fell down. My mistake.
All right.
So I'm making
saves.
Reflex saves, aren't I?
Yep.
DC all right, 15. Starting closest to furthest. What are my reflex saves? Oh, that's not bad. Mm-hmm. But that's a bad roll. Mm-hmm. That's a better roll, but I doubt a 12 is enough.
Nope, 15.
All right, that's fail. And every single one of them fails.
All right, they all take 5 fire damage.
None of them take any damage.
Darn it!
The grease on them starts flaring up, and they are now effectively flaming skeletons, visually speaking.
This plan went
they
poorly.
They don't seem to care at all about any of this energy that's burning at their skeleton.
This backfired.
Oh, that's my worst nightmare. Tie to some more ponies just to get that room just all good and gross. It's going to leave that room.
Rezul.
So what's the action to identify creatures in this game?
Undead, I believe, is still religion.
Okay, so can I use recall knowledge to learn about these things?
Let me just confirm that, but...
Because, like, I didn't see an identify a creature skill in the skills section.
Rangers have that as one of their class feats.
So, like, you can only learn things about monsters if you're a ranger?
Maybe.
Let me just confirm recall knowledge.
Yeah, because for religion, it says you can remember a bit of information on the subject of divine agents, their finer points of theology, obscure myths regarding a faith. You can also recall a bit of lore about creatures with divine significance, is all it says.
So, until I get that more properly explained, I'm going to say that it's similar to the chart from the first edition. As undead, they have divine significance because they've been raised in an unholy manner. So, okay. Yes, you can make a religion skill check to recall knowledge about these skeletons.
All right, that's an action to do that. I only roll a 9, though, so I imagine I don't know anything.
Sorry, what was your total?
A 9.
9? I'm going to say you're pretty sure they're undead.
Okay. I mean, yeah, that sounds fair. Actually, I have the dubious knowledge feat, so if I fail a knowledge check, you have to give me one thing that's true and one thing that's false, and you can't tell me which is which.
And actually, these are secret checks, and I've been playing loose with that, but this is a playtest, so I should be the one that's making these rolls.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's recall knowledge secret.
Oh, whoops, sorry.
So one thing that's real, one thing that's fake. Fire makes them more dangerous.
Oh, gosh. All right, that was the worst thing you could have done, friend. Fire makes skeletons even more powerful because they sap Saren Ray's energy for their own. I'm going to start by using an action to raise my shield for this round because now I'm pretty sure that these skeletons are made of unholy fire and are going to destroy me. And I am going to attack this one that's prone right there.
Okay.
He's like over to my right hand side. I just swing around my scimitar and say, "Be gone, fiend!" That's a 6.
6 does not hit, not even a prone.
They've absorbed the magic of your fire and are unhittable now.
Why did you enervate them or celerity them?
That'll be my turn.
Which brings us to Brayden.
All right. So I'm going to rush into the room. Can I occupy this space here in front of this
circle? Yes, you can occupy that space. By the way, Brayden, I'm going to apologize. You should have been much earlier, but for some reason, I guess I didn't hit the descending button.
I saw that. It's no big deal.
I will fix it for next round.
I was having trouble getting it to set my initiative anyways. So I'm going to come in, and I'm going to hit this one here in front. And I'm going to hit him twice.
All right, start with the first one.
First one, I roll a 16 to hit.
16 hits.
And he takes 5 points of damage from a Warhammer.
Ooh, you break bludgeoning all of his ribs. But that's just structural damage to him. It doesn't cause him pain or anything.
Right.
Good.
The next roll is an 18 on the die minus the 5 is 13 plus 3, so 16.
Sure. Do you want to go over that math at all?
Second attack should be minus 5. So 18 minus 5, 13. My attack bonus with the Warhammer is a 3. That should take it to 16.
Okay. 16 does hit.
And that does 3 points of damage.
That is enough to shatter his bones across the room.
Ooh. Good job.
Yay.
Dizzy.
All right. So from this position, I'm going to strike at this one that is in front of me and just a little bit to the left.
The prone one?
Not the prone one. The one that's a little bit to the left. The one that's in front of our wizard.
Thank you, Dizzy.
Oh, right, because of your reach. Sorry, yes. I was neglecting reach.
Yes. All right, so let's see. I rolled a natural 18. I might actually get a critical success despite it not being a 20. If a 24 is 10 points higher than their AC.
24 is 10 points higher than their AC.
All right, so it's automatically a critical hit. Are they subjected to criticals?
Oh, thank you for asking that. They are.
All right, well, I'm going to roll my damage twice. I almost rolled max. He's going to take 20 points of damage, my dudes.
Oh,
I'm going to correct you, because as you are swinging your weapon, it's actually going through the gaps between the bones.
Oh,
so not all of it
slashing.
Hits true. But so much of it does hit true, and it shatters its spine and it falls down.
Nice. Okay. So that was my first attack. Let's see what I've got next. Now I'll do my second strike at this one that is prone. So what are the modifiers for prone? Can I get...
I am trying to find that. Oh, okay. There we go.
So let's see. Prone.
minus two circumstance penalties to attack rolls, plus one circumstance bonus to AC against ranged attacks. You're flat-footed against melee attacks, which means minus two to AC.
Okay.
The only move action you can use while prone are crawl and stand. Standing up next to, or standing ends the prone condition. Everything else is about climbing or flying.
Okay. So the second attack is normally at minus five. I'm going to treat it like it's at minus three because he's prone. So I have a plus three bonus on this. I rolled a natural one. So it's not going to hit.
Nope.
But I see no reason not to do a third strike. It's going to be minus 10. I'm going to treat it as a minus 8. So I have effectively a total of, I think, minus 7 on this. Okay, I still miss.
Why wouldn't it be minus 8?
Because he's prone.
It's not a ranged attack.
He said he's flat-footed because he's prone. So
yeah, which
AC
is minus 2.
AC goes down by 2.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I'm just adding that into the roll. That's all.
All right. I'm not going to check your math.
Well, it's still a miss. I
wasn't following it all entirely. All right, it's a miss. Skeleton guard number 6. Are you still alive?
Made me work
hard.
Yes, you
are.
Oh,
yes. You're alive. You're standing up. So you are going to start by attacking the paladin.
Bring it. My shield is raised.
Your shield wasn't even necessary this time. That's two misses. This one's the Hail Mary. Totally misses. This skeleton is just like banging his scimitar against your shield like it's a bell.
You no, can't use Sarenrae's holy weapon against me, vile undead.
And yet it says nothing and has just vacant look in its eyes. All right. This one that was lying prone, the one that Dizzy just could not hit for the life of her, stands up.
But I think I'm going to take an attack of opportunity and get another strike on it.
I expected you to. Go ahead.
Yep. Let's see if I can get him on, what, the third attack? So this one's at minus two. God, I am rolling so bad. All right, I miss again. Yeah, nat three. Right.
So then it gets two attacks. It's going to, you know what? It's going to attack you, Dizzy, because it has
retributive
no feeling.
Retributive strike.
That's fair.
Take this, vile undead. Does a 19 hit it?
Sorry, I heard so much cheering, I didn't hear the number.
19?
19 hits.
Okay. I'm assuming it doesn't hit by 10 or more, though.
It does not.
All right. I do 4 points of slashing damage. I assume that probably doesn't get over whatever it's got, but it is I think the condition's name is enfeebled. Enfeebled 1 for the remainder of its turn. So it takes a minus 1 penalty on its attack rolls and damage rolls against Dizzy.
Even though your attacks did no damage?
It just says my attack needs to hit.
All right. I thought I read that the riders need damage to come into play, but this might be different because it's a class feature.
Yeah, that's kind of because on the DR section it says that riders need to go through DR, but specific outweighs general.
All right, fair enough. Okay, so remind me, what does Enfeeble do?
It's minus one to all of his attack rolls and damage rolls against anybody else but me. If he makes an attack roll against me, the enfeebled condition ends. But since I triggered it off of his attack on Dizzy, the first attack still has to go against her.
All right, go against Dizzy.
But if you want to end it, you could just start attacking me.
First attack misses, second attack. Oh, wait a second.
Uh-oh.
Does a 14 hit?
No.
All right. Then these skeletons are just... Boy, they are useless. Or maybe it's my physical die instead of a digital die, but I don't think the skeletons have done anything yet, have they?
I think the truth is that goblins are just awesome.
Goblins are OP. That's what we're learning from this playtest.
Yeah, all right. This skeleton stands up. Attacks Razul.
Bring it.
Natural 20.
Oh!
It finally happened.
Yeah, of course it's on to me.
Well, you've taken more than 20 attacks at this point this round.
That's fair.
Or this combat. So you're only taking 3 damage.
Okay.
That was a crit.
Oh.
And then it gets an additional attack.
That's an Eon Ichihara crit right there.
Oh. Nothing. A 17 hit.
A 17 does not hit because my shield is raised.
I agree. All right. Raiden Forgeborn. You've got these three skeletons. These skeletons are on fire. They look awesome, but so far they're proving pretty useless. Even the one that really just jammed a sword into the paladin's heart seemed to have missed by not really penetrating the skin properly. He seems confused about how anatomy works.
So I'm going to go ahead and stride up just a little bit so I can get at this one that's in front of our paladin, directly in front of our paladin. Your little bit of fire doesn't scare me. Forgeborn. And that's probably a whiff. Seven.
Seven is definitely a miss.
I'm going to go ahead and take my last action to make another attack. And that is worse than the other.
Aw. It's too bad, because that hammer, nice flat edge, good for breaking bones.
Yeah.
All right. Carrig.
I'm going to draw a javelin. I'm going to head back to here, and I'm going to chuck it at a Bonesy McGee back there.
All right. You see the light of the flames on them shining through their skeleton eyes, and it's just making these, like, spotlights right over your heart.
Oh. Yeah, I roll a 13 because I'm afraid.
And it misses. Goes right through them.
It's invincible. Can't be stopped.
So drawing, moving, attacking. You're done?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Riordan.
I wish to cast shield. That only cost me one action. And I'm going to step to flank with our paladin friend in the back of the room with all the scary undead monsters. This is not all right. Good life decisions. And then
on
I'm going
fire.
To, and then I'm going to bonk
right
it with
next
my
to the javelin that was just thrown their way.
Right. And I'm going to bonk it with my stick.
Which stick is this?
My quarterstaff.
All right, bonk away.
All right, I rolled an 11 on the dice. My quarterstaff is plus 1 to hit, so I rolled a 12. But he's flat-footed against me.
That's a hit.
Huzzah! And that's going to be 1d4 bludgeoning damage. 2!
Wow.
It all goes through. You're chipping away at the bones in this guy more effectively than everyone with their swords.
That's cute.
Does anybody want to borrow my stick?
Speaking of swords, Razul.
I'm actually going to drop my scimitar to the ground, and I'm going to reach out, and I'm going to grab this skeleton by the head with my Lay on Hands spell.
All right.
Normally, Lay on Hands has the manipulate action, which means it would provoke an attack of opportunity because I don't have the feat to get rid of the manipulate trait. But I'm going to take a hope that maybe these skeletons don't have attack of opportunity. So I guess we'll have to see if I if that pans out for me or not.
Before I answer that, Param, did you do all three actions or just two?
All three. I casted the shield spell.
Oh,
moved,
the shield. That's right.
And bonked.
All right. Alex? They do not have attacks of opportunity.
Okay. I'm going to try to grab the one that's between me and the squishy mage because I really don't want him to get smacked by two skeletons.
Yeah, but he's on fire.
That's fine. I've got gloves. That's what gauntlets are for, Ryan.
All gauntlets? Right, so, that sounds metal.
It is extraordinarily metal. Thank you. So I get a plus 4, and since it's an attack action ability, I think, according to this. Actually, it doesn't say it is. It says a melee touch attack, but doesn't have the attack trait. So I don't know if I can flank with it. What do you think?
I would say yes.
Okay. So it's flanked then because Param is there with his battle staff, and I get plus 4. This is against his touch AC. I roll a 12 against his flat-footed touch armor class.
That touches a flat-footed skeleton.
Delightful. First, he gets to make a...
Fortitude.
Oh, there's no saving throw. It just does the damage. Whoa!
All right.
That's sweet. So I do D6 plus charisma because of my feet. So that's 6. And he takes a minus 1 conditional penalty to his armor class for one round.
He would if you didn't disintegrate him between your fingers.
Nice.
Wow. Also, your hand is very hot right now.
It's Sarenrae's fire. It's not his fire.
All right. You tell yourself that.
It helps keep the pain at bay.
That was three actions?
Mm-hmm. No. I'm going to take an action to pick my sword back up. And then I'm going to raise my shield again.
All right, Dizzy.
All right, from this position, I'm going to begin making strikes. So right now, I'll... can I reach over and hit the ones closer to the wizard, or do I need to go for the one closest to me?
You can hit the one closer to the wizard. It is screened.
Well, I'm not interested in taking any screen penalties, so I'll hit the one next to me.
All right, screw the wizard.
All right. I'm going to say I probably hit it with an 18.
18 hits.
But my damage is only 9 points of slashing.
9 points of slashing means it's still standing.
Okay. I'll take another strike at it. I don't think I hit it this time with an 11.
11 does not hit.
And then just because I have the ability to, I'll go ahead and make the third attack, fishing for that 20. Oh, well. No, because too many minuses. I rolled a nat 15, but it's still going to miss.
For a total of?
Oh, goodness. Don't make me math this, Ryan.
All right. So it could be a critical fail, but that doesn't actually matter right now.
It's minus 10 plus 6, so I guess it's minus 4 total, so it's 11.
You're fine. All right. But the skeleton guard that you were just attacking attacks you back.
That's fair.
Retributive strike.
Yes.
Go ahead. I'm striking with my my shield this time.
Oh,
because
okay.
I've watched our cleric friend and realized that flat objects seem to do better.
Indeed they do.
I don't think I hit it though. I only rolled a 12.
12 rolled, does not hit.
Yeah, I rolled an 8 plus 2. Sorry, friend. All right, I tried
here comes the first attack, Dizzy. That's okay. A miss. So yeah, he may not have hit it, but he definitely knocked its arm just out of the socket, and so it just kind of wallops or swings wildly over your head.
But, he's a true friend.
Yeah.
It adapts quickly and just starts swinging its shoulders back and forth, so swinging the whole thing like a sword on a chain, somehow missing again. And with a third attack, it also misses. These guys do have claws. I guess I could be taking advantage of the fact that they have agile weapons and going with that route the second attacks. I'll think about that for the future. Next skeleton's turn. I guess it's the future. All right. He is attacking the wizard.
What? No, bad skeleton.
This time.
Bad.
You've already reacted.
Nope.
All right, but... So the problem with the agile is that I'm giving up forceful, which only comes into play with the second attack. So let's do the first attack with the scimitar.
Mm-hmm.
16.
That will hit, but I will use my shield block.
Okay. Mm-hmm. 4 damage.
I take none of it, but my shield shatters.
Second attack.
Oh, no.
Only a 10. So it fails to hit.
Mm-hmm.
Third attack. Quite low. Not worth calculating. All right, that shield paid for itself. Brayden.
My bad. I can only use retributive strike when someone's hit, not when they're targeted by an attack. That's a little bit less cool. Mm-hmm.
Well, it's retribution, not preemptive retribution.
It should always be preemptive retribution.
All right,
that's the best kind of retribution. All right.
There is enough fire on the grease in front of you for you to be aware that if you step into that space that'll get you close to the skeletons, you might catch fire at least, or you might slip and fall on your butt.
Yeah, I've already decided against that, so I'm going to drop my hammer. Is dropping a weapon an action?
Free. That's a free action.
That's a free action. That's what I thought. So I'm going to drop my hammer, pull my sling.
Oh.
And attack one of the skeletons with my final action.
All right. They are both screened. So one of them looks worse off than the other. Do you want to attack the one that is, it looks fine and it's close to the wizard, or the one that looks like its legs are wobbly?
Let's go for the one that looks fine that's over by the wizard. He's got less... not counting for the screen, that's a 14 to hit. What's the penalty on screened?
Screen is minus 1.
So it's a 13.
Which means you miss.
All right.
And that was all three actions. Carrig, there's still two flaming skeletons looking your way.
I don't want to be here. 5, 10, 15, 20, I'm going to go to there. And then I'm going to spend two actions to cast Tanglefoot on the skeleton directly across from me there.
Okay.
So it's a ranged touch attack. I get a 15.
15 touches.
So it needs to make a... on a success, it's entangled.
All right.
It can attempt an acrobatics or athletics check, DC 15, to remove the entangled condition.
All right. Let me look up entangled really quick, mm-hmm. unless you have it handy.
I do not. I'm sorry.
All right. Entangled, page 321 of the rulebook. Snare or other entrapping effect holds you back. You're hampered 10, so that means his speed is reduced by 10. If you attempt to manipulate action, activity, free action or reaction while entangled, you must succeed at a DC 5 flat check or it is lost. Okay, so that doesn't say anything about attacking. Nope. So it's going to slow him down in your concern that he's going to chase you down into your nightmares.
Yes.
But overall, this doesn't feel like it's done a whole lot, if I can judge your action there, Carrig. But no. It's characterful and flavorful, so I accept what you've done.
Thank you.
And that was your turn?
Yes.
All right. Riordan.
Okay. I don't like this concept of everything's on fire, so I'm going to shift out of the thing you said is now getting on fire.
And... Oh, I didn't make you make a save when you got into that greased area.
No, you didn't.
Well, I'm going to make you make it now when you're leaving it. I know that's not how it works, but I'm making up for my own mistake.
Mm. Reflex.
Yes, please. No, acrobatics.
Acrobatics.
Oh, acrobatics. Okay. And that is... I have to hit my button. I was worried about the fire, not the falling on my rump. 12. That is not enough.
James, yeah?
Nah, 15's the DC. Mm-hmm.
All right, so you are prone. The only things you can do are crawl or stand.
I stand.
All right, so that's... We'll call that the first action. What are you doing with your other two actions?
Getting out of the grease.
Because you've fallen once, I'm not going to do that same ruling. That was one mistake, and you paid for it.
And then bonk.
Looney Tunes slapstick.
Bonk.
16 to hit.
Do you bonk? 16 hits.
Mm-hmm. Ooh.
One damage.
Hey, better than nothing. Razul.
I'm going to try to bonk the one that Param's character just tried to bonk with my shield. Here we go. Natural one.
Oh.
All right. Second action. Also try to bonk, this time with a -5 penalty. Also natural one.
Jeez.
final action. Raise my shield, because clearly my dice don't want me to attack.
Or maybe your shield is not a weapon. It's a defensive instrument. That's what it's trying to tell you.
I would argue against that in terms of the definition of a weapon, but I don't have time to get into a theological debate with my shield in the middle of combat. So next person.
All right, Dizzy.
All right, I will begin making strikes as the fighter do. All right, so I am going to hit it with a 14. I think we've determined that. I'm just hitting the one in front of me because it's not screened, by the way, for 10 points of slashing damage.
Ooh.
Scatters the bones across the room, killing it.
Okay. I will, I'm going to go ahead and from this position, I'll take a step action as my second so I can get into flanking with the wizard.
Make an acrobatics check.
Mm. Oh, I forgot about that. All right, then.
It's the best
way. I'm sorry.
All right, then.
It's the spell that keeps on giving to the judge.
So apparently I was saving this natural 20 for an attack, but I guess it'll have to do here.
You'll get another.
All right, you're still standing, and you're flanking a skeleton.
All right, so now I'm going to make my attack. It should be -5. I'm going to treat it as -3 because I'm flanking.
Okay.
Let's see. A natural 17, and I do have pluses on this, so I'm automatically hitting them.
All right.
But my damage is a little bit less on this. I have 6 points of slashing damage.
Which barely does any damage. You've basically done as much as your wizard did last turn, and he's a wizard.
I'm pretty sure that was supposed to be a sick burn. Which, you know, it will be in about two rounds when the fire spreads into your greased up square.
Yeah, I speaking of sick burns, it's Flame and Skeleton's turn.
I've killed literally 75% of this dungeon, so you can pile it on me if you want.
And speaking of 75%, or percentages in general, I'm going to do roll a d3 to figure out which of its three targets it's going to attack, because it's got a reason to attack each of you. No, you know what? It's got three attacks. It's going to attack you one at a time, starting with Param.
Oh, yay.
22.
That hits. That's retributive not a crit. Strike.
Now you can get your retribution. Param takes your 5 damage.
Shield. But wait, if he kills it, I don't take the damage.
Oh, natural 20.
We'll get to that in a second, Param. All right, roll your damage, Alex.
All right. All right, the first die is a 3.
Oh, no.
The second die is a 4. It's d4s. Oh. So that's 7 plus 6, 13 bludgeoning.
All right. So that kills the skeleton. Param, you're arguing that it hit you, but it didn't deal damage until after his retributive strike?
That's written in retribution strike.
Really?
It was when I played the paladin at the playtest.
Let's see. Give me a second. I will read the ability on air so we don't have to argue about it out of context.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm just going to the reasoning, like, the hit is a sword puncturing you. Like, why wouldn't you get damage before getting smashed?
So this says, a creature within your reach hits an ally or a friendly creature. Make a strike against the triggering creature at a -2 penalty before the opponent rolls damage for the triggering hit. If your attack hits, the target is enfeebled 1 for the remainder of its turn, which means damage would go down by 1, Ryan.
Oh,
or
okay.
Enfeebled 2 for the remainder of its turn if your strike was a critical hit, which it was, so it's enfeebled 2.
None of that matters. Read the last sentence.
If retributive strike incapacitates or kills the triggering creature, the triggering hit deals no damage.
All right. I don't follow the logic, but the rules are clear.
Yeah.
Woo! Yes!
Thank you for saving me!
Yep.
It is 11 o'clock. I know you have a hard deadline for tonight, so you're going to leave us?
Yes.
We're going to continue without you. Do you want us to bot Karrig, or are you just going to go? Are you taking your orc and going home?
I think I have to take my orc and go home. I do not actually have a digital version of these sheets right now.
All right. I think that's fair. Everyone else is okay continuing?
Yeah, that's fine. For a little bit.
Yeah, that's okay. I'm just in the corner over, like, cowering over broken skeletons or burning skeletons because this is – I feel like I lived this before and it was painful.
It was. You don't remember. You fell off the tower when the last time we fought them.
Or did I fall into the gears of the moving dungeon? I don't remember which time.
You rolled down the stairs and we had to drag you away from them. Remember, we had to drag you down to the lower floor.
Yeah, multiple times.
I'm Raya Frosting all this fire away.
Done.
I'm Raya firing all this frost away.
No!
No, I don't have that. I'm not a fire domain paladin. I could have that, though. But... anyway, can we check the sarcophagi to make sure they haven't been too maimed? I would like to try to undo some of the graffiti if I can as well. Anything to stick it to this vampire lord, and also promote goodwill between my goddess of healing and the Pharasman goddess of being dead.
So you're just cleaning off the desecration?
Yes.
Hmm.
Can I do that?
You can. I'm just checking to see if there's any skill roll you have to make it particularly good. But no, it just seems like, yeah, sure. Some of it you can't do. It's been, like, scratched up.
I think this is a good point to mention out where that might qualify for gaining a hero point.
Oh, do we have hero points? I don't have any hero points.
Everyone starts with 1 at the beginning of every session. And one of the primary uses for having 1 is you can spend it to stop dying.
Oh, I wish I knew that.
Yeah. Well, if it came back to your turn while you were dying, I was going to let you know, but you were back up before it ever came into play.
Oh, I'm going to miss James now. Who's going to keep me from dying? Andrew, that's your job.
But the rules state that to gain a healing point, you're doing things that are exceptionally helpful, and it lists, like, drawing the map for the party, carrying the food for the party. So it's Ryan's call if this qualifies as that kind of thing.
I'm going to say no.
Huzzah.
Sorry, just... It's a good thing that you're doing, and I appreciate it from your character's point of view, but no, I don't think it's so significant that, like, if it was your god and you were really getting into it and you were, like, casting spells or using up resources, then I might be like, yeah, he's really into this, but no, you just think it's a little bit wrong. You're cleaning it. It's not heroic.
Let me read the sentence. I just found it, and I think this confirms your ruling. It says a character needs to do something selfless or daring beyond the normal expectations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm calling this normal expectations.
Okay.
Good for you for meeting my expectations, though.
Yeah. And the other stuff you were listing off is the stuff out of character. You start with a hero point. You can earn one hero point in game, and you get one hero point if you're doing something to help the game out, such as bringing snacks, mapping for the players, all that sort of stuff.
Oh, that's real life stuff.
Yeah.
Okay.
If one of you shows up with snacks for me right now, I will give that person a hero point.
Okay, now hold on. Which cookies deliver to Ryan? All right. We've got another
run in the scream.
We've got a door to kick down.
There are plenty of doors to kick down, my human friend.
Well, no, I just saw the two doors. There's not plenty. There's not even enough door for us to all use feet.
I will go to the staircase.
Revised marching order. Oh, stop right there.
Okay.
Okay.
You have walked down that hallway, and you come to a tall stone statue depicting a beautiful woman in ceremonial robes standing in an alcove. The woman clutches a dagger with one hand, holds an hourglass in the other. You recognize this? It's the same woman as you saw moments ago at the pool.
Nice. Hello, Phrasma. I'm sorry that what I have done for you. Oh, God, what is that?
That's Phrasma. I know it looks like a Medusa or whatever, but it's just the statue's long hair.
You put it down, and I thought it was the flying spaghetti monster, and I got really scared.
I can see it. I see what you're seeing.
It's for those of you who are listening, its hair is, like, splayed out, and, like, the way that it's looking, like, the hourglass looks like an eyeball off of its tentacle. It looks like the flying spaghetti monster, but I also see it's the picture we've seen before.
Yeah, so oddly enough, this is where the information about making a religion check is written, even though this is the second time you're seeing a statue of Phrasma. So now if you want to make a religion check, I can give you some more information.
12.
So you identify it as Phrasma, goddess of death, and a couple of other things, birth, and I want to say parties?
Water.
That's not true.
It's water.
Fate. Birth, death, and fate. Water might be in there somewhere.
I know she used to give the water domain in Pathfinder First Edition. I don't know if that changed.
I'm not sure. Not relevant right now, anyway.
That's fine. I'm going to do a perception check on these stairs to see if they're trapped. Okay.
Go ahead.
All right. I was waiting for your approval, Senpai. 13.
13? No, they look like normal stairs. What could possibly be trapped about them?
I will take my first step on a stair.
Oh, I should have been rolling that. That's a secret check. I keep forgetting. I'm so not used to actually doing the secret checks. You're going to take the first step?
Yeah.
Here's the problem.
Okay.
It's not the stairs that are trapped, but this statue of Phrasma is not happy with you for whatever reason.
I just cleaned your sarcophagi, lady.
You know what? You did, didn't you? I take it back. You're allowed to pass.
Oh, okay.
How cool.
I will take a step onto the stairs and wait for you to trip me down them.
I'll step forward nervously.
I have no reason to be nervous.
Oh, yeah, that's right, because I don't know that the statue almost hit him. I have no idea about that.
That's right.
Yeah. I am perfectly content right now.
Now I got to deal with Dizzy. So, trigger. Swirling sand bursts forth from the hourglass in the statue's hand, filling the corridor for 10 feet in each direction. Creature that starts its turn in this area must succeed at a fortitude save or choke on the sand.
Oh, God.
So, everyone within 10 feet, which includes Alex, even though he successfully got past the statue.
I'm so sorry.
Fortitude saves all around.
Come on.
Ooh,
I need to hear numbers.
15.
17.
17.
All right, so Dizzy, once again, is the only one to fail.
Again.
I mean,
1 point of damage as you choke on sand from the hourglass.
That's far less bad. All right, then.
I mean, you've killed 75% of monsters and failed 100% of saves against hazards.
Very true. Can we keep going?
You can keep going, except for Alex's character. Razul, you come to a door.
Okay. I'm going to turn around and shake my head and say, you see, you should have taken the time to clean the statue, like I said, Dizzy. Patience is an important skill for all adventurers and for life.
She was stealth on the other hand.
Nah. I think she was pretty patient. She sat there, watched you work.
I suppose so. It would appear that Phrasma disagreed. I check the doorknob to make sure that it is also not trapped with the rage of Phrasma.
Make a perception check.
10. Oh, wait, no, you're supposed to roll it.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You don't secret, know secret, secret.
Yeah, this is the greatest doorknob you've ever seen.
Okay. I'm going to open that doorknob.
I'd like to call
it. It's stuck.
Do I need to make a... Do you need to make a secret check for me to break down the door?
No, you have to make an athletics check. You can know how well or how poorly you do.
I'm really bad at athletics because you get penalized for wearing armor.
Yeah, that's kind of frustrating for me, too, because I would be real good at it.
Yeah.
But my armor.
You would think that wearing all this armor would make it easier to break down a door, but whatever. I will try. It's a -3.
Oh,
gosh, I rolled an 18, 15.
That's good, but wow, that's something to remember.
Yeah, no, it's rough. There's a lot of things that get hurt really hard because you have relatively low bonuses at first level, and the armor penalty for just wearing medium with a shield is -5.
Wow. Well, you managed to get the door open.
Hey, I did it.
While this room may have been used as a shrine long ago, its contents are now a ghastly mockery of its former self. To the south, an altar upon a raised dais is surrounded by mosaics depicting a stern woman with long flowing white hair, all of which have been slathered in filth and gore. The whole area reeks of decay and cloying, clotted blood.
Yeah.
You are not alone in this chamber. I bet you thought you were alone. You were all sitting here like, oh, it's just us in here, right?
I was actually going to do my trademark yell and have Razul yell for the vampire to show itself because, I don't know, is that a vampire?
It looks like a hobgoblin to you.
Vampire.
As soon as you walk inside, you see that he was preparing something, but you managed to get that door open so quickly that he has failed to fully prepare for your arrival.
Oh, this seems like a good time to say something, Ryan. There was a little bit of errata on this adventure. I didn't understand the point of it, but should there be a rat in this room, it's not supposed to be here.
Really?
Yes.
There is a rat in this room.
That was a mistake. It is not supposed to be here.
It's not because it's listed as a dire rat, but there are no dire rats in the bestiary, only giant rats.
It's not supposed to be in the room at all. It's only supposed to... That I just know that from the errata that was mentioned when I was checking all the
posts. Thank you for checking that.
And I only mention it so that any GM listening to our podcast knows if there's a rat in this room, it ain't supposed to be there. That's a typo.
Raxiel says the rat is a lie.
Mm-hmm.
That's accurate.
It did seem strange, I'll be honest, that there was the bad guy and one rat.
It's his friend. It gets lonely in here.
But there's no, like, talk about their relationship or anything. It was just like, all right, and there's also a rat in the room. I guess they work together.
I mean, I've got a pig on a leash. We haven't talked about that.
That's true. Well, you did talk about somebody looking after him. But anyway.
Yeah.
All right, so he was just standing over. He was hunched over the altar in the middle of feeding on a recently slain goblin, blood running from his strange three-pronged tongue. This is what you find him doing.
What?
I know. Hobgoblins, right?
Yeah, gross. Pretty gross.
Yeah. Not vampiric either, even though there's a lot of blood drinking going on there.
Huh. You're a
faker.
Who
wants to roll for some initiative?
I have a question.
Yes, go ahead, Alex.
Since I technically initiated this at combat with my athletics skill by breaking down the door, can I use my 15 from that as my initiative?
Oh. I was going to let you make an athletics check for initiative. I wasn't going to let you use the same roll.
Oh, but my athletics bonus is so bad. I don't want to.
Oh, I know.
Great. Lovely. I love how you're using initiative to stab me good, Ryan. Thanks.
Actually, I should go back to what I said earlier, that if there is a vampire in the room, you can make a knowledge religion check. There are no vampires in this room.
Bamboozled again.
Yeah.
If you want to make a perception roll, that's fine.
But no one
was doing anything stealthy. You were just moving along adventurer style. So I'm calling for perceptions all around, unless someone can make another argument.
I'll take it. I put a 15 in the tracker.
You've not only caught him with his pants down, but you've also caught me with a bad roll. Mm-hmm. Is everything in the turn order accurate?
Yeah, mine is.
Yours is. Carrie can go. Rezul?
I rolled an 18 with a +1 on perception.
Dizzy?
I'm good. I'm in the tracker correctly.
All right.
I rolled a 14. Order.
Excellent. All right. Rezul, you, appropriate enough, open the door, find what is not a vampire, but probably not a hobgoblin, eating a goblin. And he is not happy to see you.
I'm going to shout, vampiric hobgoblin, because that's true. He is eating blood. He may not be literally a vampire, but sure. an argument could be made that he is vampiric.
Adjective, not noun. I'm with you.
I'm going to stride 15 feet forward as one action. Can I have my sword out for defending, or would it be put away for breaking down the door?
Oh, I would have said that you were fine walking around because you were kind of in adventure mode, but breaking down the door. No, you know what? I was picturing it as shoving your shoulder into it, and if I'm picturing from Princess Bride.
I'm going to take two attacks with then if my sword is out.
Okay, go for it.
Okay. All right, I rolled a nat 20, so that would be a 24. Is that enough to crit him?
No, natural 20 is always a crit.
Oh.
If it would have hit anyway. If it would have missed with the 20, it's still a hit, but it's not a crit.
Yeah, I understand. It would have hit, and it's a natural 20, so that is a crit. Confirmed.
Okay. So, let's see. First die is a 6. Okay. Second die is a 3. That's 9 plus 6 is 15 damage on my critical hit. And for my second swing, that'll be at a minus 1 because I have a plus 4 with a minus 5 penalty for taking a second attack. It's also a natural 20. I have done nothing this adventure. This is such an amazing power. I went from rolling double 1s in a row, double 20s. 6. Okay. And 5, that's 11, plus another 6 is 17. And I have the forceful ability, so since this is my second attack, I get to roll another, it adds 1 damage, so that would be 22, right? Does that get doubled? Would that be 23 instead?
Everything gets doubled?
Unless it says
everything
not.
Gets doubled.
So my second attack is 23, so the first one and then the second one.
Mercy. All right.
I'm sorry for doing almost the 40 points of damage in round 1.
Dizzy?
All right. I'm going to stride up my full 15 feet. That puts me within 10 feet of him, which is all I need with my reach weapon. I'm going to use my last two actions for a power attack. I rolled a 6, so can I hit him with a 12?
You cannot hit him with a 12.
Then I am finished.
You don't want to use a hero point to reroll anything?
I'm going to save that in case I die, and I think you need 2 to reroll.
You need 2 for a reroll.
Okay. Then I don't have to worry about any rerolls going on right now. Brayden.
All right. I'm going to go ahead and stride into the room, and probably that'll be about it. Because that is, I've only got a 20 movement speed, so.
Must be nice.
Actually, I can move in far enough to hit. So I'm going to go ahead and clobber him.
Go for it.
Or maybe not. 12?
12 does not clobber him.
I didn't figure.
Riordan.
Can I see any part of that half or monstrous whatever it is?
Let's see. So you can draw a line from this corner to this one, and even this one uninterrupted. So I will give him screen, but yes, you can see him.
Okay. 3-action magic missile.
Okay.
Nice.
3d4.
3d4
plus 1 each, so 3d4 plus 3. No, yeah. So 2 damage, 3 damage, 3 damage, so 8 damage total.
8. And he's dying. He collapses on the floor, and then his goblinoid features just kind of recess into his face, and he just eventually looks kind of like a sea cucumber with arms.
Ooh.
Yeah. Ooh.
That's not good.
And he just kind of lies there, not really fitting into the armor he's wearing anymore.
Rob, Ryan.
Yeah.
I have Lord Dominion of the Black. Can I roll this check to see if I know what this is?
Yes.
It's part of my background. I get training with Lord Dominion of the Black, and I get the dubious. So you have to roll for me because it's a knowledge check. And if I get a +2.
Okay.
And if I fail, you give me one piece of information that's true and one that's false, but I don't know what it would be.
All right, but fail, like
if I don't hit whatever DC it would be to know what this thing is.
Okay. Let's see. You know that this is not a member of the conglomeration of galaxy-spanning malevolent creatures that is the Dominion of the Black.
Okay. I get really tense for a second, everyone, and then like I look it over, I'm like, no, okay, this is fine. This is just some weird thing from Galarian. It's not
fine is a stretch.
No, it's horrible and disgusting, but at least it's horrible and disgusting and from this planet.
Yeah, Riordan, you kind of think that maybe you could figure out what this guy is.
Okay. Well, then, I'm going to go ahead and go on up. That's not move, that's drawing lines. I'm going to move on up and just start examining this little thing, and I think I need to use my lore skill then.
Indeed. Mm-hmm. Lore or Arcana?
Okay. Both the same roll for me. Okay. So I will roll it at +5.
What is your lore in?
Osirian lore.
Oh, no. That won't help you here.
Okay. Well, then Arcana is at +5. I think it's a pretty pony.
Oh, no. You don't know what you think. I'm rolling.
Oh, you rolled. Yes. +5.
That's no hobgoblin.
That's no hobgoblin?
Yeah.
What is it? Poke.
Not helping you.
Is dead now, coup de grace. That's what it is.
It is a coup de grace. CE is not silent, unlike the P in coup.
Are you making fun of my goblin accent, Ryan?
Yes, I am.
That's racist.
It's actually ancestriest.
Thank you.
That's ancestriest.
That sounds much worse. Well, I don't know about much worse, but that sounds like something other than what it is. So yeah, you've mutilated this person that maybe he was the big boss of the whole adventure. Maybe there's another guy somewhere in another room. Who knows? What are you doing now?
We gotta find the star.
Can we search his body for the star?
You can search his body. Let's see. What's he got on him? Where is equipment listed? Mm. There's a whole bunch of abilities he didn't get. All right, well, I can just read what it says in the treasure section. No, that's the altar. Mm-hmm. It's still the altar. This guy's definitely... Oh, there we go. The items are all the way at the top. Mm. Excellent longsword. A key. Two more bubbling potions. A silver religious symbol of Pharasma. Mm. And some really nice studded leather.
I wouldn't mind grabbing the longsword if no one else wants it.
It is sized for medium.
Oh, yeah.
Is that a thing?
Now?
I don't know if that matters
that's
now.
A thing.
Does it not matter now? How could it not?
Yeah, there's no more sizes for weapons. It's one of the things that makes the Titan Barbarian really strange.
Okay. Who cares who this is sized for?
You said it's an exquisite longsword? What does exquisite mean in this system?
It's an expert longsword.
Oh, nice. I definitely want that.
Yep. Enjoy it.
Does that mean it gets +1 to hit and damage?
Mm-hmm. I don't know about damage.
It's just to hit.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. We definitely should take... Oh.
No, I'm sorry. I'm thinking out loud. Keep going.
Okay. We should definitely make sure that holy symbol isn't left on it and is nice and cleaned up and not desecrated. And you could use more acid flasks.
Or whatever they are.
I'm gonna look around this room and be like, well, obviously it didn't get a chance to show us whether or not it's a worshiper. But if it follows Pharasma, why would it have let the walls of this chamber get so disgusting?
Oh, they're not just disgusting. They've been desecrated. This was actively destroyed.
I'm going to assume it just didn't get to this one because
it's silver?
That's it. It can be a vampire. You're right. It's silver.
It doesn't really look like a vampire anymore. I mean, don't vampires look like people? That doesn't look like people anymore.
Yes.
I give the holy symbol to the religious person.
There's two of us. Pick one.
The one that succeeded at being religious so far. I think, give it to the Lord.
Braden, you've been handed the holy symbol.
It's
not your god.
No, but I'll tuck it away and make sure it gets to the right place.
Mm-hmm. So speaking of desecrating temples, we need to search that altar.
Go ahead. Perception check.
Secret.
Oh, yeah. Oh. Every single perception check is secret?
If I'm searching for something.
What's your bonus?
Plus 2.
All right. There's nothing obviously on it other than this goblin corpse that is... there's still enough to eat if you're hungry, but mostly it's the blood's been drained.
I like how you said that in a way insinuating that Parham's wizard is going to want to take a bite out of this goblin.
I'm just putting it out there. But otherwise, there's nothing on the altar. There's no obvious, like, hidden compartments or anything like that. And, yeah, this is, like, the room itself was the display. There was nothing on display in this room.
We are still short a star. But he had the key.
Indeed, you are.
He has a key. We need to find something that's
he
locked.
Did. Well, there's a door here.
Okay.
And there is a passageway over this way that, according to your map, is all like squiggly, kind of like the natural sections of the rock that you've been through.
Well, I say we go ahead and take a look at this door first.
The door to the east.
That is indeed east. We have figured out the geography of this location.
What about the statue there to the east?
Yeah, you know what? I don't have anything about these statues.
Alrighty then.
Yeah.
I check the door for traps. I roll a 4. I'm sure they're fine.
I'm just making sure I didn't miss anything about these statues, because they are very specific items that have been added to this map, but I really don't see anything. Nope, there's stuff about the altar, but not about the statues. All right, sorry. So you're checking to see if the door is trapped? Locked.
All right, let's try the key, and if that doesn't work, we'll try my shoulder again.
The key works.
All right, I enter. Are you gentlemen and ladies coming?
Yes.
Wait, are there any ladies in our group?
Yeah, we have one.
Oh, I didn't know. I'm sorry, ma'am.
I mean, I'm sorry. I'm trying to find a rule.
What are you looking up?
I'm trying to confirm the way qualities of weapons work.
Okay.
And I just can't find it. But I'm going to find it.
Yeah, you keep looking for that, and we can just keep going on with what's going on in the room and assume that Dizzy is just, I don't know, distracted by something. Probably thinking about that goblin that was just getting eaten. That's kind of messed up.
That is messed up.
Beyond the door is a short hallway that leads to a flight of stairs ascending into a small chapel. The space is perfectly still and spotlessly clean, a stark departure from the grime and filth that has marred the rest of the complex.
Can I do a perception check to see if this room has been cleaned recently, or if it's clean because nobody's been in here for like a long time?
Sure, let me make that for you. Wow. You can tell that this is just a room that has been kept flawless for a long time. There is a slight coating of dust, which would indicate that people are not cleaning it, just that it was kept proper.
Interesting. Can I do a religion check to see what this room might have been for?
Yes.
Do you want me to roll that, or do you want to roll it?
Apparently I'm rolling it.
Okay.
What is your religion modifier?
+1.
Okay. Let me just see if there is a specific... What the? No. this is probably something I should have mentioned when you were doing your perception check, which was to check to see if there's dust, but there is there's a lot of imagery related to Pharasma. It is a small shrine, and atop the shrine is a book, a dagger, and a silver bowl. The book is open to a passage discussing the proper litany to be spoken when sanctifying creatures in Pharasma's realm. Or, sorry, into Pharasma's realm. Silver bowl has water in it.
Mm-hmm.
And glancing into the water reveals, ooh, an image of the future.
Ooh.
Oh. Mm-hmm. You see a much older version of yourself trudging through a vast desert at night while the stars wheel at a dizzying speed overhead before blinking out into darkness, one by one.
I plow forward. Guys, look. This is a very nice sword. I just figured it out. Look. Look at how well crafted it is.
Yes. Very nice sword. Mm. Very nice sword. Pat the goblin on the head.
This bowl appears to have portents poured within it.
Ooh. Well said.
Okay.
I'm gonna give it to
that looks inside sees the same vision. It's from a slightly different angle, but if you know anything about stars, it is the same constellations that are above you. And yeah, it's you're older, you're in a desert, the stars stop shining in the sky.
Well, I'm sure that's not bad news in every way possible.
Oh, I like your optimism.
Okay. What about reading that litany? How do you do this for Pharasma-ing?
Does my religion check tell me if I can do the Pharasma-ing?
Yes, your religion check was quite high, and so I believe I actually have this passage somewhere elsewhere in the story, but mainly what you're trying to do is anytime you are trying to consecrate something in Pharasma's name, reference this litany with this book, and you will be able to either do it more easily or do it without having to make a check.
Can I go and try to consecrate the room that was defiled?
Indeed you can.
I will. I'm going to grab the book and I'm going to say, excuse me.
I'm going to go help him. Please do not run off on your own all the time, Paladin.
It's fine. I can take the punch.
I know, but can you take the punch in the back of the head for keeping doing that? Stop it.
Maybe. That depends if your staff is enchanted yet.
Meanwhile, Dizzy's like, ooh, there's punch, and she drinks the bowl.
Actually, I want to splash in it because I don't like pictures.
Yeah, so you're looking at it and you do not age well. So yeah, you splash in it and now like your face is all over the place for a second and then it's got concentric circles tearing it apart, but then it stabilizes.
That's hilarious. I do it again and then I leave. I don't want to waste too much in-game time, but Izzy would spend time because this is hilarious.
There was a dagger on the altar that nobody mentioned anything about.
Oh, there's a dagger?
Yes.
Is it a nice dagger?
Very nice
dagger. Is it shiny? I mean, I'm taking it. It's already over.
It's got a sheen to it, but it's like a translucent sheen.
Oh, it's interesting. I'll take it.
It is interesting. That is a good word for it. All right. Make note that you have that dagger.
Okay. Sheen dagger. All right.
All right, so you go back into the other room with the rest of them. Everyone has already... What are you doing? You're all just standing around?
Cursed, isn't it?
Let me think. Andrew, Parham, and I want to try to use the book to clean the room.
Right. All right, so you can read from it, but it's not actually affecting the physical grime in the room. So maybe spiritually you've exercised some demons here, but it's still a dirty room.
I'm guessing right. We're going to scrub while we're doing it.
I hand the book to Brayden. I'm going to say, you read these passages. I will scrub the room.
Even with prestidigitation, it will take upwards of 10 minutes to clean the grime off the room.
I know, but otherwise I have to touch it.
Yeah, no, that's fine. I'm just saying it's not a shortcut, but it will keep you cleaner. That's true. Yes, good. So you were able to clean off the altar. And while reading these messages from the book, and for a moment you all get a chill up your spines and then a warmth in your heart. And this warmth lingers.
I throw up? I think I'm vomiting.
You are that not is... vomiting. I cannot figure out why that was your assumption.
I make those faces that a cat makes when they're having a hairball. I'm like trying to like get the vomit out.
It's okay, Dizzy. It is not vomit. Instead, it is the grace of a job well done. What do you say? Should we finish exploring this room, everybody?
We need to find the star, so...
Yeah, we should keep looking.
It looks like the only place we haven't gone is this big passageway of caves here.
Yes.
Can confirm.
All right, looks like we're going there.
Does this mean we have to do marching order?
Blindly forward.
I will follow the goblin to her doom.
I just take off like Calvin from Calvin and Hobbes, just blindly forward.
All right, and it's your standard tactic. You're not really being stealthy. You're just kind of moving around, and if a fight breaks out, you're ready for it?
Yep, I'm defending. Doing the defending.
Has it been more than 10 minutes since the skeleton fight?
Since the skeleton fight, no. You were pretty quick. Oh, no, yes, it has been, because it was taking 10 minutes to clean the altar.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Why? What happened 10 minutes ago?
I can only spell. Use shield every 10 minutes if I block a hit with it.
Oh, okay. Well, that time has passed.
Okay.
This cramped cavern reeks of stale sweat and dried blood. Tucked into the far corner is a filthy straw bed made from ratty hides and moldy clothes. Oh, that's what happened to the dire rat. Off to the side sits a pair of chests, one of which is open and filled to the top with a strange assortment of clothes.
Let's go check. Maybe the goblins put the star in there.
Yeah, we go check everything.
Yep.
But not touching anything. Just
I touch everything.
Can you touch everything?
I will search.
I believe that Sarenrae's healing light will protect me from whatever diseases might be in this chunk I go in.
You're going into the open... You're physically stepping into the open trunk?
No, I'm putting my hand in there to try to find things.
Mm-hmm. All right, we'll get to that. But Andrew, I heard you say you're making a perception check?
Yep.
Anything in particular you're looking at?
I'm going to look at the nasty bedding.
Ew. Okay.
You're a brave cleric.
What's your bonus?
5.
You find a discarded coin, or maybe not discarded, but a lost coin purse. It contains 2 silver pieces and 7 copper pieces, which in second edition is a small fortune.
Don't spend it all in one place.
How much did you say it was? 2 silver?
2 silver, 7 copper.
We can go live off
to
that
Alex.
For a month.
The open chest contains a variety of clothing, and it's not just like a wardrobe. It seems like more like a costume closet. There's barbarian hides, merchant clothes, noble attire with fake jewelry, and a city watch uniform.
Is it sized for a medium creature or a small creature?
It is sized for a medium creature.
This is curious. Very curious. I wonder if the holy symbol and the clerical remnant stuff came from this chest. Maybe we didn't kill a cleric after all.
We should probably take all this with us as evidence.
Yes, but we still need to find that star. That is the most important thing, the reason we are here. Mm-hmm. Did you have any luck, Dizzy?
Oh, let's see what's in here. I'll open up this chest in front of me.
The locked one? Or the closed one?
Yes, the closed one.
It's locked.
I never saw that coming, to be honest.
Do you want to try the key to the door? Maybe it'll work.
Oh, I'm convinced it's just jammed. I'm just going to keep pulling on it.
All right, that sets off a poisoned lock.
Okay.
Let's see. I was really not expecting you to fall for this after you found the key.
So our ancestral flaw is wisdom. So, you know, I have to play it.
Yeah, that's fair. All right, so spring-loaded poison spine is hidden under the keyhole of the lock. You did not find it, so you attempt to, you haven't, no, you attempted to unlock it because you were kind of trying to force it open, right?
Yeah, I'm just pulling on it.
Yeah, all right, it attacks you. 23 to hit.
Yeah.
One damage and make a fortitude save.
Well, judging by the way I've been rolling this, let's see. Yep, I rolled what I've been rolling. How about a 10?
10 is not enough.
Okay.
You take 5 poison damage.
Okay.
And you gained the drained 1 condition or status. I think it's still a condition.
Okay.
And remind me to check back in with you at the end of the adventure.
Oh, boy.
But yeah, that chest is still locked.
Does Dizzy, like, jump back or something from being stabbed?
I get dizzy.
Nobody gets dizzy.
Can I try to go over and, like, ask her what happened and use the medicine skill to treat her for poison?
Sure, go for it.
Okay. Come over here. Sarah Ray has taught me many healing secrets. Perhaps I can help you. I roll a 16 plus 1 is a 17.
And the DC is the fortitude save?
It's
hey,
the...
Alex?
Yeah.
Do you have healer's tools?
Yeah.
Okay.
They're really expensive. It's most of my gear.
Yeah, I know. It's most of my gear, too.
We should have collaborated on this. it says that she gains a plus 2 circumstance bonus to her next save against the disease.
Okay. We will keep that in mind. The... Oh, wait, hold on. It says, yeah, it's hourly, so the next check won't be for another hour.
Okay.
Okay. Andrew, do healer's kits have charges like they do in Starfinder?
I do not recall off the top of my head. I think they do.
All right, I'll check it while you you guys use the key.
Okay, so for the record, what drained does is you take a penalty equal to the value on fort and con checks, and you lose a number of hit points equal to your level times the drain value. So I lose 1 hit point, and my fort saves and my con checks suck a little bit more.
So what I'm confused about is the frequency of the poison. It's got maximum duration, and there is a time in brackets at the end there, and I don't know if that's specifically for how long you're drained or if that's the duration of stage 1.
Well, let's look up poison.
No,
you can look that up after.
It uses the affliction track like in Starfinder, so she's stuck there till she staves out of it.
But when is the next time she makes a save? Because this gets worse.
Does it have a frequency listed?
No, it has 1 hour in brackets at the end, and I'm not sure if that applies just to drained 1 or if that's the end of stage 1.
Well,
it says there's a maximum duration, which is a greater number of hours than the 3 stages of the poison combined.
Well, why don't we do like you said, and I'll look it up while you guys move on.
Yeah. Well, infliction's on 325, so we can move on and read it there.
Yeah. Can I put you in charge of looking up the poison format and figure out the frequency?
Me or Lauren?
Lauren.
Okay. Yeah,
she's the poisoned one. All right. Somebody uses the key to bypass this whole poison?
Yes.
Yep.
All right. Or could have bypassed the whole poison thing.
What's the onset, Ryan?
It does not say.
Then it's immediate, yeah. You can keep going, sorry.
All right. You find a large amount of loot, expert quality crossbow, a feather token, 3 light arrows, a scroll, another scroll, a wand, a vial, collection of rare inks and powders, series of related esoteric books, a bag of gemstones, a small sack filled with coins. Also found within 2 more items, the Star of Desna.
Great.
Ooh.
And a thick journal with the title Notes of the Last Theorem scratched in the cover.
Let's read that.
It's a leather-bound journal written in Aklo by a careful hand. Does anyone read Aklo?
No.
Everyone can make a society check.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I have that.
Can I make a Dominion of Black Lore check? Does that matter? Or
not in this case.
Okay. I'm going to keep asking for everything you do, Ryan.
I don't blame you.
I'm not trained in society, so I don't think I can get higher than a 10, right?
Is that still a restriction?
I don't think that's in this. You just have the minus 2.
Oh. Then I would get a 10.
10? Anyone else?
I have a 15.
15, that's good. Anyone else?
Not higher than that.
No.
All right. You recall rumors, Param, about Notes of the Last Theorem being owned by a Chelish diplomat named Nasirian.
Hmm.
And you believe you heard Nasirian had traveled to Osirian to chase legends of hidden treasures in the desert sands.
Oh boy, I'm really interested in this. I've been trying to get to Osirian for years.
Without being able to speak or read Aklo, that's the most you can discern from this book.
Hmm. Well, know what I'm going to be doing tomorrow. I'm going to be finding somebody who speaks Aklo.
Should we investigate the other cave, or should we leave? We have what we came for.
Let us leave and return and give the star to somebody, as we are running at midnight.
That's true.
My character needs to sleep, too. She's not feeling so good.
All right, you've recovered the Star of Destiny. You can return it to Kaleri.
Which we should do, yes.
Yes.
You've managed to return it in less than 7 days, so she doesn't have to cancel her trip to the Swallowtail Festival. Mm-hmm. And she is thankful that you've returned the heirloom. She's thoroughly relieved to have it back. And when she gets a chance when she gets a chance to see the other PCs have recovered, she is more... to see what the other PCs... Okay, so do you show her the other things that you've recovered?
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Especially asking her if she speaks Aklo.
Indeed, yeah. She has.
Oh, wonderful.
Indeed, she does. Sorry, I was mm-hmm. answering one thing and reading another thing. Mm-hmm. She skims over it. She says if you can give her a few hours, she can give you a detailed synopsis of the book.
Wonderful. I'll make tea.
All right. Book focuses on cataloging information about the supposed contents and location of a rare tome called The Last Theorem. Book set to contain exhaustive information on the sinister aliens of the Dominion of the Black.
Dun, dun, dun!
You know, Alex, maybe I should have given you, because it's like, notes of The Last Theorem don't relate to the Dominion of the Black, but the thing that they're about does.
Huh.
And in particular, a number of hints towards an upcoming invasion of Galarian by these horrific monsters.
What?
What?
No?
Wait. Alien invasion?
Possibly. So it's notes about a book that goes into detail about the Dominion of the Black and their plans to invade Galarian. You don't have these plans. You just have notes that there is a book that has these plans somewhere.
Gosh, we have to find this book.
Yeah. Indeed.
In addition, the journal notes that the Last Theorem is said to contain magical formulas, equations, and incantations capable of affecting the physical world and making ready the world for its new Dominion rulers.
That sounds terrible.
Yes, much of this book seems to be related to the upcoming Doomsday, yet there's no indication of the date of the dawn of this Doomsday. Oh, the book also confirms that Nasirian is a Chelish diplomat and irrefutably proves that he has ties to a nefarious secret society of Dominion cultists known as the Night Heralds. But you get no more information about the Night Heralds.
Then I guess we need to seek this person out.
Well, at this point, Kaleri tells you that she has a secret to share. She is a member of a secret society whose interest in the hidden nature of reality, the Esoteric Order of the Palatine Eye. Among other goals, the Esoteric Order seeks to find and control dangerous lore and secrets so that cults like the Night Heralds cannot use them for ill intent. While the Esoteric Order has other primary enemies, such as the death cultists known as the Whispering Way, they have, of recent years, grown more and more concerned with the machinations of the Night Heralds, and the hints provided by the pages of the notes of the Last Theorem are truly worrying to Kaleri, who fears that Nasirian may be seeking some ancient doomsday weapon or other potent artifact. She cautions that the group is dangerous and must be stopped.
Done.
She requests time to study the notes of the Last Theorem and report back to the Esoteric Order about this lucky find. She invites you to help her in studying the text and even offers to sponsor you if you wish to seek membership in the Esoteric Order.
Is she interested in the dagger at all, or is that not really up her alley?
She says that if you leave it on her night table, she will get back to it when it's convenient.
Okay.
Well... If joining this weird, funky order gets me to Osirian, that's a great, if we save the world, bonus.
Wait okay. a minute. What?
Wow.
Indeed. Thus concludes the lost star.
Oh, I get it, because we found a star.
The Star of Desna, yeah, but also mm-hmm. that stars are blinking out, and that now there's a lot of connections to the titles that are going on here.
Bum, bum, yes. bum.
I can tell you that the next part is in Pale Mountain's Shadow, and will feature brand new characters. You will not be returning to these characters for a few chapters.
Will I ever return to this character?
Yes.
Yeah, oh, good.
We saw the All future, right. so clearly.
Yeah, I thought I died.
Oh, right. We got to get back to that poison. Did you find the information we need to figure out when it what its frequency is?
I think it's going to be every hour, and I think chat seemed to agree with that.
All right. Then give me another fortitude save. You've got the bonus from the treat poison.
Okay, but I also have a minus one from the drain itself, so my total is going to be plus five on it.
Okay.
I rolled a 16, so I've got 21.
Nailed it.
Woohoo! Not a good goblin.
And let's see.
Thank goodness.
Because I'm looking for things that I'm used to in the poison check, I'm looking to see how many saves it takes to beat it. It doesn't say anything, so I assume one.
Usually one successful save bumps you one step up the track, so she'd go from being like weakened back to being healthy, I think is how it works.
Well, okay.
Are we hitting downtime? Because if we are, we can do this as clerical work.
Yeah, you know what? This would be downtime.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so yeah, we can just do this clerically.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, you've got access to some clerics that can clean that up. No problem.
And we would like to remind everybody that the first playtest session ends on the 26th of this month. So if you're watching this video live, you have 2 days. If you're listening to it, you have less. Maybe negative days, but I think we'll get it up quick. I don't know. I don't not know when this is going to hit the stream, or YouTube for that matter. But we do encourage everybody that is participating in the playtest to go and give feedback on the forums. One of the few things on the Paizo website that's still working right now. So do go to paizo.com. You'll see the warning page. I assume it will be up. It might be gone by the time you listen to it. And do fill out the form. Even if you miss the deadline, they do want you to fill it out anyway. They do expect that several people will miss the actual deadline before the next deadline. And your answers will have some effect even if you get them in late. They've pressed that point repeatedly. So please go fill out the surveys as they are listed. There's going to be future surveys, as well as surveys that have nothing to do with doing this playtest. There's going to be PFS surveys. There's going to be general surveys. Do the surveys. We will let you know when they come up in this podcast and all of our other podcasts as appropriate.
I do want to thank a couple of people for helping out here. Like I said earlier, Vanessa Hoskins from our network, she's the one that put together our Roll20 map with all the tokens were in place, all of the fog and war was in place. So that was a big help for me because this was my first time GMing with Roll20. Mm-hmm. And I get why people get tripped up with it, but I can also see myself picking up. Like, I already know that the next time I run on Roll20, I'm going to be that much better. Mm-hmm. Also, Jen McTeague put together a document that has all the stat blocks. It's on the GM shared prep. That was handy because even though like the bestiary is available, just having the specific encounters laid out by room with just the creature and with pertinent information listed like what the different weapon types do, that made this run much more smoothly as well. And then, of course, I'd like to thank all of you. You were excellent players. Thanks, Paizo, for providing us with the rule books and for providing me with the adventure for this. And then thank our patrons on patreon.com/nodirection because we've been doing a lot more content for the website, including a lot more podcast-based content. And that is possible because they are helping us pay for keeping up with our equipment and making sure that, just that the bandwidth that we continue to exceed the limit of, that we are able to pay for more.
Mm-hmm. And I want to give a shout out to our live Twitch audience. You guys have been amazing, and it is so much more fun knowing that you're enjoying it too.
If you would like to contact No Direction or find out more, you can do so at nodirectionpodcast.com. There you can also email us at nodirection@hotmail.com. Visit us on our Facebook page at facebook.com/nodirection. Visit us at Twitter at twitter.com/nodirection. And of course, you can watch this video and many of our other podcasts on video, but not all of them, not all of our podcasts are video, but many of the others at youtube.com/nodirectionshow.
And specifically, if you're looking for the announcement of the next episode of Doom's Play, check out our website, check out our Facebook page, and eventually our Twitter. Those are the three main ways that we get the information out there.
And please join us for other Let's Plays that we do, such as No Direction Adventurous with Lauren, who plays Lily, myself, I play Glanville, and Ryan, mm-hmm. you play XS.
Xavier Saver. But yes, my friends call me XS.
Ever. Oh, yes, and Discord! If you want to hang out with us and the coolest, most chill, awesome community in all of Paizo, Starfinder, Pathfinder, and etc., etc., please join the No Direction Discord. We are on it pretty much all the time. It's a good way to reach out and talk with members of the staff, members of the community, and also they usually find out everything cool that happens as it happens.
Thank you for joining us, and there will be more Doom's Play to come.